much about.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
Don't ever. Nope. Hold on. Don't ever. Nope. Don't have a... Nope. Don't do it anymore. It's a very hard way to realize that.
Oh,
but it's like... It's like cowabunga. But it's not that. That's Ray Romano. Eat my shorts, man.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
If you're gonna have soup with Mel Brooks, what kind of soup is it gonna be? Is it gonna be the same soup for both of you? Is it gonna be a hot soup? Is it gonna be a cold soup? Are you gonna have bread? Are you gonna have crackers with it? I need more details.
Finally, a question about something important.
Butt stuff?
You're not known to be a humble man, but I wonder.
I think I am actually humble. I think I'm much more humble than you would understand.
It's a cover story, so liberals can raise all that money. You know what all that money? They're gonna make a supermax prison for us conservatives like me.
Keep it 100.
And now.
No.
No to which part?
No to the whole thing. It doesn't sound good to me.
Our feature presentation.
It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. It is Wednesday morning, the 8th of January.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Hello,
what's
everyone.
Up, people?
Hi.
How was your day yesterday?
Well, I'm surprised Allie's here, to be honest.
Same.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you know.
May I ask why?
Well, yesterday was your, like, alternate Christmas.
Christmas 2.
Yeah.
Christmas Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
And then you have another one. Right? They're doing these back-to-back?
Oh, it's three nights in a row so far.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if one person wins each match, it's over on Thursday night. But it could continue on next week. We're talking about the Jeopardy Greatest of All Time Championship.
Honestly, I've never seen anyone this excited since, like, the Star Wars movie that she was really looking forward to came out.
And they sent merch.
Yeah, they did.
They sent specific championship merch to her.
Yeah, they know their audience. I'll say this. I get that you have a different audience. You have new eyes watching because, A, it's in prime time. Mm-hmm. It's usually at 7 p.m. It's on 8 p.m. So whole new audience there. You've got,
yeah, I love that idea that it's everywhere. It's all new. No one's ever seen Jeopardy before.
Okay, not whole new. But you've got new, fresh eyes that probably don't watch Jeopardy.
Yes.
So I'm sure them seeing a bunch of cameos from Katy Perry, Kevin Hart, Lionel Richie, Dax Shepard. Yeah, giving clues. So I was like... All right,
thought they were competing. Did you see his face?
Oh, like they were going up against the goats?
I mean, right after you said it, yes.
Okay.
I realized, no, that's dumb.
Okay, right. Okay,
go ahead.
No, they were taped giving clues.
Mm-hmm.
And
gotcha.
I thought, well, come on, you're wasting my time. I'm an OG champion.
Because you don't need the bells and whistles.
I don't need the bells and whistles. No, give me the game.
But did the bells and whistles somehow hamper the game? Because it seems like they're still giving clues.
Yeah, Let's go to Katy Perry.
It was pointless.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I go to Alex for that.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the clues, Alex. And here's the, kind of the core of it.
You sound upset.
Here's the core of it.
I mean, she's reading off of an essay she wrote, so go ahead.
You've got the three best players.
Uh-huh.
You got to obviously ask tough questions.
See, no, that's what I want to talk to you about.
Because they're the best.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
The questions were too hard. I was not having fun.
Really?
I literally was like,
that's my experience with all Jeopardy.
Okay, well, I get it.
I always thought that one of the appeals of Jeopardy is that you get one every once in a while.
Yeah, not last night.
Last night was just right over my head every single time.
It wasn't as enjoyable as it usually is.
So these are the three best of all time. Were they getting them?
Yes. The first game, 30 for 30. They ran the board. Every single question they got right.
Well, then that's impressive. Those are good questions then, I would think.
They're good questions for somebody with a freaking brain the size of Manhattan. That made no sense. See, I got dumber watching it.
I think I went 0 for 30. I think I also ran the board just in the other way.
But I will say this, they are all playing James's game. The way he plays, he's the one that you search out the Daily Double, you do the big numbers first. You don't do the category from low to high.
For those of you that don't watch Jeopardy, he sort of figured out a new way to play it where he made more money than anybody else. And now the other two are on the exact same plan.
Right.
They're on that plan, but Brad got all but one Daily Double. And didn't do jack with it.
Stupid Brad!
Oh, Brad! You made me so mad last night.
Brad's a plant, by the way. He didn't exist before. I only heard of the other two.
He totally did.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about... I think I bet correctly if we go back on the tape.
Okay.
Okay.
What did you bet?
Oh, no. I had said Brad originally.
Yes, and I think
But then I changed it yesterday once I saw how the game was going to be. No, during the show yesterday when I found out how they were going to be doing the game, I thought, okay, that doesn't benefit Brad at all.
All right.
So wait, did you enjoy it?
Less than a usual Jeopardy.
Really?
Which is a bummer because it's greatest of all time Jeopardy.
Yeah, you want to love it. Yeah. Can I ask you another question? Are they going to follow it up with Teen Tournament like they always do where the questions are hard and then they go, oh, here's the stupid stuff?
Well, Teen
it's
is not
stupid
really
Jeopardy.
The stupid stuff.
I know the Teen answers.
Do you?
Yes. Teen Tournament stuff, I'm always like, oh, I know more of that than
I
know.
See, I feel like I do best at college.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm good at
teen. I lost at Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? So.
Okay. Okay.
You're waiting for the elementary school.
It's not my jam.
Right.
Well, Ken won the first match.
Ken! Yes!
The
that
first
is you,
match.
Yeah.
Ken
is that
was
good?
Killing it.
Yeah.
But he only won by $200.
Oh, wow.
James had $63,200. Ken had 63,400. Brad, what? Does the clicker work?
Yeah, he was out of it.
10,400.
He's not a thing.
He really is. I really had high hopes
for Brad. Yeah, two champions and then some guy named Brad.
I had high hopes for Brad. He's gonna turn it around. He'll do much better. But, I mean, come on.
Are you going to be nearly as excited tonight?
Good question.
When it comes on.
Yes, I will be because I love this show so very much.
Okay.
But they just don't need the bells and whistles. And the final Jeopardy music was different.
Really?
They added like different stings to it. And like, it's usually just do, do, do.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
but it had like a snare and like there was just weird stuff happening.
Hmm.
You gotta stop it. You're not going to gain viewers because they watch this and they're like, I'm going to start watching at 7. That's for us nerds. Let us nerds have it.
Well, especially with those questions.
Oh, my gosh.
If you watched it, because I did watch for a while, if you watched the questions, you'd be like, oh, this is not a fun game.
This is
game.
Not for
this
me.
Is, yeah, I don't even know some of the words they're saying.
I looked at my clock. It was 8:46, so I was like, it's almost over. I don't need to check it out.
Understandable. It's not for everyone.
All right. So
look, she's already trying to push people off of it.
She is, yeah.
She wants the bells and whistles off. She's like, no one, please stop tuning in.
Did I need Katy Perry giving a clue?
Yes.
No.
Okay, no. That's what I meant.
That's what I looked to Alex.
Sorry, Allie. I feel like it really let you down.
It's okay. I mean, first Rise of Skywalker, now this. Mm-hmm. Everything I look forward to dies. Rob Hubel coming in today?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, he's good.
Are you sure?
Well, let's drive slow, Rob.
I assume he's good.
Yeah.
Don't jinx him.
He'll be fine.
My bad.
Speaking of, let's talk about today's show, shall we?
I mean, this is a very, very, very bad day.
Rob Hubel will be joining us, hopefully, talking about medical police.
Oh, my gosh.
It's very funny.
It's so stupid.
We got to see advanced screenings of it, and it comes out Friday. And I don't know if you watch Children's Hospital or not, but it's just insanity.
If you like the Children's Hospital universe, this is your dream come true.
Yes,
levels upon layers upon levels of funny jokes every minute.
They're doctors as well as cops.
Correct.
It is
so good.
So I literally watched it and said over and over as I'm laughing, this is so stupid.
That's what you say with the funniest stuff most
Absolutely.
Of the time.
Absolutely.
If you say something stupid, it's really funny.
I loved it.
We are going to do Get Up on this morning with Jensen.
Yep.
We're not going to do My Feet Are Killing Me,
well,
I hope. Because we're going to do a scientific survey.
It's up to you, the audience,
yes.
to whether or not we're going to do the foot segment.
And I assume the audience will do the
right
thing.
Well, they know that every foot has a story.
Right, obviously.
Do they know that?
Most do.
Okay. And also, I don't know if you're good at this, but I'm horrible at remembering names.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point of, I know this person so well, I can't even ask a friend what their name is.
Because they'll be like, you've known this guy for a decade.
It'll be embarrassing for you.
Yes. Oh, that happens to me a lot.
Okay.
And I've sort of started doing something, but I'm not positive that I like it at all.
Oh.
It's like a memory trick to try and remember people's names. So I need a little help today.
Kevin, you know her name. That's your daughter.
How dare you?
She got a haircut, though. Are you sure?
She got her nails done. They're a different color.
We'll take a quick break and come back with what's happening next. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. And time for our first look at what's happening.
Did you guys all see Hustlers?
I did not.
I don't think I did either.
Okay. Did any of us see Hustlers?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I did.
Dave did.
What'd you think, Dave?
That was boring.
Oh.
Wow.
I mean, a movie about strippers,
right?
Boring?
Yeah. I thought he was going to say, I was all horned up or something like that. I thought he was going to be excited about it.
Kind of glad he didn't. Mm-hmm. Kind of glad he found that boring. But we are going to need Jensen saying I was all horned up exactly. for the rest of the year. So Jennifer Lopez's production company is being sued for $40 million by Samantha Barbash. Hmm. She's the one who inspired J-Lo's character Ramona in Hustlers. She claims the film's producers approached her before production to obtain a consent waiver from her for the production of the film and their ultimate portrayal of her. She refused to sign off and waive her privacy rights. Okay. So she's now watching the movie, and I guess there are some scenes where it shows her using and manufacturing illegal substances in her home where she lived with her child, which she says didn't happen. And it portrayed her likeness in a truly offensive and untrue way. So she's suing, but here's my favorite part of the article. She also wants all copies of the film returned.
Oh no, that's
so
easy.
So if you have Hustlers, I'm going to need you, just send it back to this Barbash woman.
That's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to get the person's consent if you're doing a movie about their likeness?
If you admit that it's, if it's inspired by a story from somebody... yes. I mean, you have to show it would have to show a lot of actual direct comparison. So if she was able to say, this is a story I told them, and then they just turned into a movie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hmm. Well, it's based on the 2015 New York Magazine article titled The Hustlers at Scores, which details the real life events of her and her time as a stripper at Scores Gentlemen Club in
New York. She would have to prove, even if she doesn't say, like, this is about me, you owe me money, which is harder to prove.
Yeah.
But if she says, it's affecting my ability to do business moving forward because it's inspired on a story by me and you made things up about me, then yes, she could have a case.
What if J-Lo just comes back and she's like, your name's Samantha. My name was Ramona in the movie.
And then that's the whole
case
defense.
Judge just
closed,
dismisses
and
it.
The judge is like, she's hot. End of discussion. Gong, gong.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Gong, gong.
That was my Law and Order and gavel sound.
Very nice.
Right. Still don't plan on seeing it.
Really?
No.
I mean, I'll do the research if I need to for
Thank
this story.
You, Kevin.
Because I'm committed.
Right. That is nice.
You're welcome.
Committed. YG. Who's that dude? Rapper?
He is a rapper. He is very good. I very much like his records, but he's also a true-to-life gang member.
Hold on.
Yes.
I very much like his records.
Yes.
You couldn't have said that more white.
I was trying to do it in a very newscastery way.
Yeah.
But he is probably the most gang-affiliated rapper around.
Well, he has just filed a police report on Monday for grand theft, telling LA authorities that up to $400,000 worth of jewelry was taken from his hotel room. Here's the thing. The incident happened a week before he filed the report, but he said that he had a briefcase which contained high-priced pieces that was placed on top of a safe between 11 p.m. on New Year's Eve and 11 a.m. the next morning.
I mean, that's where you want to put it, is on top of the safe.
Yep. Yeah. And it was lighter than usual. he noticed it was missing jewelry on January 1st, but then waited 5 days.
Why?
Probably to go find the guy to kill him.
Couldn't find him, gun in
then
your
Then went to
help.
The cops, yeah. Went around with a gun, couldn't find him. Time for you guys.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I mean, $400,000 in jewelry.
It's a lot of money, man.
What were you doing on New Year's Eve that you were like, might need these
right.
20 necklaces and 40 rings?
I don't get traveling with that kind of dough. That makes no
either.
Sense.
Yeah,
some people leave it in their cars and it gets stolen. Like, what are you doing?
And he lives in LA, right?
Yes.
So why? Just leave it at home.
Yeah, I don't know. The one thing I do know about him is that he was opening for Drake. And we went and saw them at the Hollywood Bowl. And then magically, he wasn't opening for Drake that day. So I looked into it, and there was a report somewhere on the internet that the police just won't let him perform in L.A. because he's so gang-affiliated.
Oh.
And I was like, I've never even heard of that.
I haven't either.
Yeah, I've never even heard.
Wow.
You can't play here because of violence. So.
Wow. What if he found out that a guy in the audience really liked my record?
Well, he probably would have played.
Shocking that he didn't show up for that guy.
I feel I'm his demographic. So.
Right. He's shooting
it's
for you.
It's like your whole body, like everything changed. Your body language, your face, like you pointed up glasses you're not even wearing.
I own his merch even. I'm a fan.
I even own his merch. What a dork. Oh, I love it so much. Then why'd you steal his jewelry, Jensen?
Well, because I want to look cool. I want to look fresh.
It's not going to help.
I want to look very sweet.
This party lit.
I want to look very sweet. Oh, good Lord. Hey, how about some birthdays? Are you excited about some birthdays?
Sure, what
well,
do you got?
Before we did this, I did hear you say, I don't even know if there's anyone I can report on today.
There's nobody on this list that I would say happy birthday
who
to
doesn't
on
make,
the
just
show.
Give me a couple that don't make the cut. Like, just one.
Robbie Krieger from The Doors.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah.
That's, all right. That's the best one I have.
Ooh,
that's
boy, the top oh one? Okay.
And that's what's happening.
One of the things that I love the most about the Jimmy Kimmel Show is Jake Bird.
Oh, he is brilliant.
So good.
He is a guy that goes to, in this particular case, a flat earth convention in Texas. And so basically somebody's being interviewed by the press, a serious interview, and he'll step in on not the interviewer part, but the interviewee, and take his side, and then start adding more stuff that that guy doesn't believe at all.
Unbelievable.
It's magical.
I wanted you guys to think of something also while you're listening to this. Think about logging into a dating app while you're at one of these conventions. And just being like, who's around me? And just like, ugh, boy.
Why would you think
well,
that?
Well, that's a great question. Like, imagine the single scene
you think
at these
there's
things.
A flat earth... dating app?
Oh, I'm well, sure there's got to be.
I'm
or
sure.
one in the making.
Yeah, there's definitely people hooking up.
All right, so this guy's getting interviewed, and he's talking about being tired of all the lies that the Earth's not flat. And Jake Bird jumps in and then adds a whole bunch more things that this guy doesn't believe at all.
I don't think I want to wait around and see if NASA's lying to me or not. I think I already know.
They're all lies. We're tired of the scientism lies, okay? The lies that the Earth is round and my pink eye is contagious and that, yeah, you can't eat raw chicken and play with coyotes, or if you eat too many eggs, it'll turn you into a Jewish. Or that you can drink pee, but you can't drink the pee that comes out from the pee that you drank. But wouldn't that second pee be more sterile than the first pee? We're just tired of the lies.
The guy who's being interviewed is looking at him like, I don't want you on my side.
I don't want to talk about chicken and coyotes.
I love that even
everyone acts like they know everything. We know something, and there's no such thing as knowing. There's no knowing anything. Thank you. Ergo, no, it's a flat earth.
I was going to say, is this a filibuster?
Oh, no, this one. The next one is. The next one's a filibuster.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how he kept all of this straight.
It's brilliant.
But again, there's just somebody being interviewed. He jumps in to take the guy's side. And then explains the very convoluted route that he got to realize that the Earth is flat. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea how he kept this straight.
You just know. I mean,
you
can tell
when you
these
know,
people.
You know. When you know, you know. Can I blow your mind for a second?
Yeah.
This is how I found out. Okay, my mom's sex friend, Randall, was over, and I was playing with his record collection. He knocked me right in the mini fridge. But when I came up, I was holding one of the records. The shape of the record? Flat. Guess what record it was?
I don't know.
Who was the biggest band of 1971? Earth, Wind, and Fire. And what was Earth, Wind, and Fire's album cover? Look at this. A pyramid. The symbol of the Illuminati. Yeah. And who's the drummer for Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Don't know.
John Paris. And what group is from Paris? The Templars. And when did the Pope kill them? Friday the 13th. And who's the bad guy on Friday the 13th?
Jason?
Freddy Krueger.
Or Freddy.
And who played Freddy Krueger? No. Robert England. And what do you call an apartment in England?
No idea.
A flat. And who lives in an apartment in England? What Satanist? Harry Potter. And what month did Harry Potter go to school to become a professional Satanist?
That's beyond
September.
Me.
And what band had their biggest hit with a song called September?
That's beyond
Earth,
me.
Wind, and Fire. And where's my mom?
This guy had no idea what he was talking about because it's utter nonsense.
He's so good.
So now the leader of the conference gets up, and there's not a lot of audio in this particular clip, but the leader gets up and starts speaking, and Jake Bird starts throwing out questions from the audience.
Oh, dear.
This is the leader. His name is Mark Sargent.
All right. My name is Mark Sargent, and I'm a proud flat earther. The globe is already dead. They just don't know it yet. Long live flat earth. Thank you.
All right, so they open it up for questions on the floor, and Jake Bird stands up, and the guy walks over to him with a microphone so that he can ask the leader of the Flat Earth Convention a question.
Thank you for confronting NASA, which everybody knows actually means not always telling truths. My question for you is, we all know for a fact that the Earth is flat.
By the way, I just wanted to mention that the audience laughter is on Jimmy's show.
Yeah, not at the convention.
Not at the convention.
Okay, but is there a general consensus
as to how thick it is. Because,
no.
The reason being, like, say I'm digging a hole because I got to bury a few dogs.
Right.
Am I just dropping a garbage bag of dogs into outer space?
He's asking this in a room full of people to the leader of the Flat Earth Convention.
A bag of dogs.
I don't have any idea where he gets the guts to do this. Because
he's fearless.
We've come up with a lot of ideas, and even when I do, like, Kevin Annoys You, I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. When he does this, it's in front of an entire auditorium.
Is he just dumping dogs right? out of
his face? The reason being, like, say I'm digging a hole because I got to bury a few dogs.
Right.
Am I just dropping a garbage bag of dogs into outer space?
As far as the thickness goes, when he says, oh, how thick is it? I don't know. Even mainstream science. How deep is the deepest hole? 8 miles. There you go. It's like, if science can't go further than this, we don't have to either.
That was his answer.
Oh, wow.
About the dogs being buried
in
really
space. He really had quite a call and response there with the audience.
Yes. 8 miles.
So now the security's starting to get tired of Jake Bird because he keeps jumping in on these interviews.
Sure.
So the security pulls him aside and they tell him, dude, stop it.
They're following them, dude. You keep getting on the side of the interviews. Don't act like I'm stupid, dude.
Why would I think you're stupid?
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
So, why would I think someone at a Flat Earth Convention is stupid?
So he walks up to the leader of the Flat Earth Convention, Mark Sargent, while he's being interviewed.
Oh, dear.
On a one-on-one, and Mark is tired of Jake at this point.
I got a quick question.
No! Oh, my God. No!
Why would the expression, Daryl Hannah fell off the face of the earth, exist if the earth wasn't flat?
So now the security and a cop have him cornered.
Sure.
And they're looking at his ID and making sure that he's a valid person that should be there.
Illuminati. I'm getting too close to the truth. They want me out. Listen, we all know what it's like. We've been out here. We've been called everything. Morons.
Okay, so now, so now the guy that's saying, you're good, I just want to check your credentials. Jake Bird goes, we've been called everything, meaning me and the guy who's checking me. And he just starts naming off ridiculously a long list of horrible names that people get called that are this dumb.
We all know what it's like. We've been out here. We've been called everything. Morons, illiterates, pain drinkers, clear evidence that there's a broken foster system, fetal alcohol syndrome, boys choir. We're called dum-dums, flatheads. What else have we been called? What else have we been called?
Many
different things. We're always called.
I have a problem with you being here.
Pain snippers. What's going on in that head?
And then the Flat Earth Convention kicks Jake Bird out.
Okay. No.
They kick him out of the
convention. Too much.
How is it possible that anyone gets kicked out of that convention? It's impossible.
No, fine. Fine. Can I get it? Can I get a refund for this?
That's up to this man.
Well, that's it for me. Goodbye, stupid round world. Jake out.
True genius.
He is amazing, yes. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. Coming up just after the top of the hour, get up on this.
Yes.
With Jensen. And then we're going to do a phone topic. We want some teachers to call.
My favorite type of calls, teachers. I love them. They deserve to be heard.
Call anonymously.
Yes.
Most likely.
Yeah, please. You're not probably going to want your name associated with the phone topic.
But it's something you're going to want to get off your chest.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yes.
So stand by. We're going to ask for you to call in about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First, Allie is here. What's happening?
Guys, I understand. Some things aren't for everybody.
Okay.
I love Jeopardy.
Not
for
me.
Kevin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Masked Singer. Not for me. People love it.
Yeah.
Gets great ratings.
Huge ratings.
Incredible, yeah.
Yeah.
Now they have a spinoff, which again, is not for me, but people will watch it. They announced yesterday that Fox is launching The Masked Dancer.
Nope.
A spinoff of its franchise, of course, The Masked Singer, that features celebrities who hide their identity. The network is going to work with Ellen DeGeneres to produce the new celebrity competition show because the idea came from a popular segment on her show. Does she have people in masks?
She
that
does.
Dance?
So she, when the first season of Masked Singer was blowing up, she would have people come in, guests or whatever, and you would do, it's the same thing except dancing.
I might want to watch this because we talked to Dr. Drew.
Uh-huh.
Who was on the show, and
yes,
he said he could almost not see a thing.
Right. Like, so you're thinking people might fall.
You're thinking comedy falling off stages.
I certainly hope so, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would almost guarantee that
would be the dream.
That won't happen.
And they won't air it if it does.
Yeah, they will make every special arrangement so that would never happen.
Why don't they want me to watch?
Do you question? Do you care to see celebrities dance like, and then someone dances? Oh my God, it's Michael Bolton or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care.
No. But same with singing.
I didn't. I mean, I worked on the first season, and I'm surprised it's this big. So I don't know what to say anymore.
Yeah. And
the Masked Dancer.
Yeah. What are you gonna like go off of? Because if they're in like a big like pig costume, you couldn't be like, that's obviously Michael Bolton's body.
Well, the whole goal would be someone is a better dancer than you expect, right?
Right.
So like it would have to be, like, you know who's a good example off the top of my head? Bobby Moynihan is a very good dancer.
Didn't see that
he
coming.
He took
didn't
lessons either. Most of his life. I think his mom may have been a dance instructor. Like, he's really good at dancing. Okay.
But at least with singing, they could get clues from their voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the whole bit would be, oh, that's a better dancer than I expected. It's, you know, Artie Lang or whatever. It's someone you did not see coming doing the Fortnite, you know, fist pump thing.
Look, I hope everyone enjoys it.
I do, too.
I'm with Alec. Not for us.
Yeah.
It's unclear for now when the spinoff will debut. However, the Masked Singer will return right after the Super Bowl.
I saw they announced their guest judge for that episode.
Who's it going to be?
It's very big. It's Jamie Foxx, which is Super Bowl money. But, yeah, I mean, that's a big guest star.
How exciting.
Still not interested.
Yeah.
At all.
I don't know why.
At all.
Never cared.
For someone who worked on it, it's not for me.
Okay.
All right. See, there you have it. Harvey Weinstein was nearly tossed in jail by a Manhattan judge on Tuesday. That's, you know, the beginning of the movie mogul's rape and sex abuse trial. Because he wouldn't stop using his phone. In the courtroom, the judge was like, is this really the way you want to end up in jail for the rest of your life, by texting and violating a court order? Mm. I mean, the guy is just, he's D-bag on top of D-bag on top of D-bag. And the using a walker to get into jail.
Yes, that's
it's
so
the
struck
oldest
me. That's
the trick in the book. Oh, Bill Cosby can barely see. We've got to walk him in. Come on. Come on.
Agreed.
You're not getting any sympathy whatsoever. And
Robert, he's on the phone.
Put down your phone.
Yeah.
Don't put down your phone. I'd like to see him put in jail immediately.
Okay. All right.
Same. Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Kevin has spoken. Do you guys ever, when you wake up, like think like a positive mantra, like today's going to be a good day? How do you start off your morning when you wake up?
I think we're bad to ask.
Not really.
Because it's so dang early.
Yeah.
My morning is usually, oh my God, when can I nap?
My first thought is, it's still dark. Still dark.
Oh, and it will be dark for a couple
good
more
hour
hours.
Or two, yeah.
Well, half of Americans say that they just can't have a good morning without coffee. That's a staggering 50%.
I'm surprised it's only 50%.
More?
Yes.
But they're saying that coffee changes the positive outlook of their day. Like, if they don't have coffee, they're going to have a crummy day. I believe that's what we call addiction, you guys. That's just cuckoo. But 4 in 5 Americans believe their morning coffee is essential to staying positive and productive throughout the day. Besides a cup of coffee, 48% said that getting a little bit of exercise in the morning is their key to a good day. Others say they think a positive thought. Others say they do a little meditation. We don't have time for any of those things unless we're setting our alarm for
what
like
do you do, Ellie?
Two.
Nothing?
No, I literally, like, my alarm goes off. I usually press snooze once.
Uh-huh.
And then during that time when I think I'm going to fall back asleep, I'm like, I'm not falling back asleep. Why'd I press snooze? I should just get up. That's every
okay,
morning
that's
my
everything.
Thought.
Okay.
For years.
So, since I started getting up before the butt crack of dawn.
I don't mean to sound like our friend Stryker here, but I'm not sure I've ever had coffee. I've had coffee once, I think.
Really?
Well, wait. Because do you count like a vanilla latte or do you not?
I would.
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Then I've had a couple of those. But as far as the traditional coffee in which our parents were like drinking, I've had that once.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think I never...
Did your mom not drink coffee?
No, not enough to say she was a coffee drinker, but she did drink coffee.
See, my dad went to work at Cedars very early in the morning. So every night my mom, oh, God bless them, so cute, would set out the 2 cups of coffee and their little spoons next to each other. So coffee was just
part
such
of the
a
routine,
thing
yeah.
in my house. But I didn't have my first cup of coffee until my senior year in college.
Yeah.
Senior year?
I never needed it
to stay alive in college.
See, I never did. I don't know why.
I'm a little like you, Kevin, in a sense that like I order a milkshake or whatever there. You know what
you
I mean?
Make
like
it sweet.
Yeah. Not coffee, really. I'll get like an ice blended or something. Like those aren't really coffee. Those are
coffee-ish
milkshakes.
Or dessert-ish.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as drinking like a black coffee, I've never had that.
That's my drink. Black coffee with some Splenda.
No thanks.
Doesn't it taste like garbage?
Oh, if garbage tastes wonderful and was nectar of the gods, yes.
I've drank it once and I was like, this tastes like burnt chocolate.
It's interesting because I can't have dairy because, you know, no one in the room would want to be around. Mm-hmm. I was doing like certain little like lactate milk, that type of thing. But once you get used to just the taste of black coffee, it's great.
Is it a self-fulfilling prophecy where you go, I'm not going to have a good day until I get coffee?
Yes.
Like your mindset?
I think so.
I would guess.
Can it's the same thing as a like a mantra or a meditation. You're setting that in your head.
You have to do that.
That's going to be the outcome.
A pattern.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question?
Please.
Do you think beer tastes good?
Yes.
I am not a beer fan.
Well, then the answer is no.
But there are, but I do think, I do
think. Yes or no question.
She made it seem like that's the thing that's going to change. Oh, I can't answer this because I'm not a fan of the way it tastes.
There are times when I will have a Guinness and it tastes.
Which is kind of the milkshake of beers.
No, yes, it's more of a beer than a Budweiser.
No, but I mean,
how
what I'm saying is,
dare
far as,
you?
It is. It's a meal. It is a meal.
It is a meal. But I don't love the taste of beer. I don't really understand it. But I do think Guinness. Mm-hmm. I'm with you there because it is a different. It's like it is very thick and it's a different. No,
well, it's I a like different both. Taste. Oh, am I allowed to like
absolutely.
Both?
Yeah, absolutely. You could be an alcoholic for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm just. I mean, I will say this too. There's nothing like on a super hot day having an ice cold Corona.
See,
wait,
I
you know what?
See?
No, I like yep. beer.
You like
beer. I'm back.
You're really flipping this.
What happened to you?
I'm nothing like you in that. Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that saying, man. That people always say.
That took
say.
You 2 minutes to work through.
Yeah, I like beer.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not my first choice if I'm going to have a cocktail with, say, a male companion.
Right. No.
It's your new, throwing
it's
it into your vernacular
new thing,
now.
That caller, oh my gosh,
we had a
with the male companion.
Yeah.
It just delighted me to no end. So I'm going to have a cocktail with a male companion.
Yeah, no, I'm all about the cocktails. Mix them up, baby. But, you know.
No, don't say mix them up, baby.
What is happening with him today?
Know, all his,
like, hipisms.
Just, I'm very hip.
You are. Mm. You definitely are. All right, guys. Some birthdays. I said in the 5 o'clock hour there really weren't any, but I went back, and I will say this. There are a lot of dead people that are great celebrating a birthday today. And since I never do
deads.
People that have passed, today I have to because there's no one alive worthy.
Okay.
But happy birthday to David Bowie, Stephen Hawking, and Elvis Presley.
Yeah, big dead day.
All right.
Yeah, in heaven, they're partying.
Big dead day, did you say?
Yeah.
Those are the words.
The deads are killing it.
Well, that's what's happening.
Jensen used to do a podcast called
Get Up On This. Did it for about a decade.
Explain it, please.
And it was me getting you up on things that you should know about, whether it's an app or a TV show or a podcast or music, really anything. There's just so many things out in the landscape, and I'm here to sort of pick those before they break or things that you may have missed over the years. And that's what I did for a long time with guests, and now I do it here on Kevin in the Mornings with Ali and Jensen.
Say it wrong once.
He's so proud of himself. What a
son
dick.
Of a bitch.
Get up, on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up,
get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
This week's Get Up On This to kick off 2020 and start the feature on Wednesdays is special because I'm giving you a 3-for-1. That's right.
A 3-for-1.
Three different things that I think you should know about.
Okay.
These are things that have limited attention from people. I think that people should be focused in on these things. One of them I'm going to start with is a free app that we here in this room have looked at each other and said, guys, I wish there was something like that.
Huh.
Really?
Here it is. It is called Just Watch. All right?
Just Watch.
Just Watch. It's available for your iPhone or Android. It is an app where you can enter the name of a TV show or movie and immediately see a list of the streaming services where you can watch it for free, rent it, or buy it.
That
Love
is
it.
So good.
That
Love
is
it.
What we've wanted. It has a library of 37 different streaming services that are constantly updated. Some highlights include, obviously, Netflix, Hulu, Disney+, Amazon Prime, and HBO Go, to name a few. There are other apps like this, but I like Just Watch. It's not the one with the most streaming services available, but it does include a ton of interest and genre features. So basically, if you want to look for a mystery, you don't know what movie you want to see, but I want to see a comedy tonight.
Uh-huh.
You can type in comedy, and they'll give you suggestions based on other users.
That's fantastic.
So that's pretty cool. Also, it has the Rotten Tomato scores right there with the movie, which is kind of nice because
Then I can see if it's in my wheelhouse.
Right. If it's under 20, you should. It's
18 to 35.
Exactly. It's your thing.
That's my wheelhouse.
For example, with all the impeachment talk in the news, it got me to remember a great Kirsten Dunst movie with Michelle Williams called Dick. Did you guys ever see it?
I saw a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different channel.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny and so underrated. It's about two girls. It's a fictitious story about two girls who break open the Watergate story. And I was like, I haven't seen that in a long time. So I just typed in Dick.
How's that search history?
For Just Watch, it was fine. And it's told me immediately that it's on Amazon or Apple TV rental for $3.99. It's streaming on Showtime On Demand, so if I have that subscription, I can see it for free. And then also I can watch it on Sony Crackle for free, but with ads. And it just told me that by typing it
in.
Is there anything off the top of your head that you guys would want to look up? TV show or movie?
A hundred times I've thought, I need to watch this show, but I got to go online to see where it is.
Mm-hmm. Look up Harold and Maude.
Great. That is a great one.
Yeah. Own it. I own five copies if anybody would like one.
Harold and Maude is available to watch right now in Prime Video.
Oh,
so you would have
okay.
you have it obviously.
Yeah.
So you would need a subscription there to watch that. But then if you want to rent it, $2.99 on Amazon, $2.99 on YouTube.
Fantastic.
Apple has it for $3.99 in HD, and then purchasable only a dollar more, $4.99 on Amazon and Apple.
See, I recommend everyone own Harold and Maude.
Great movie.
You own it five. Why are you looking it up?
He just asked for an example.
Help. She's being a team player.
Dracula.
The
new TV show.
Oh, it's on right now.
Yes,
it premiered this past weekend.
Yep. Let's see here. Only issue with this is that there's going to be a lot of Draculas. Obviously, Dracula.
I think
TV
it's Netflix,
show.
But that's one of the things where you go, "Oh, I need to go check where it is," and it's time consuming.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean.
No, this one. Yeah, it's just Netflix.
Okay, Netflix.
Yeah, that's super that easy.
Love
just said Netflix. It's with your subscription.
Love it.
Great app, right?
Yeah.
Wonderful app.
Just Watch. It's called. Okay, here we go. Second, I mentioned this in passing on the show the other day, but there is a brand new podcast episode that is so entertaining and so interesting. I can't suggest it more. It is the newest WTF with Marc Maron as he sits down with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood actors Brad Pitt and Leo DiCaprio.
Mm.
Now, keep in mind, these guys, especially Leonardo DiCaprio, don't do interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo
DiCaprio never
does interviews like this. But Brad Pitt starts off the interview by saying he is such a huge Marc Maron fan. He believes he's watched every season of Marc Maron's TV show three times each.
No kidding.
Super fan. So much so that he was like, I talked to my agent about being on it. And Mark was like, no, I heard. I kind of thought it was a joke. Like,
wow.
Super fan of Marc Maron. So they got to sit down.
Yeah.
They had just finished an Arclight Q&A for the movie. So they're a little amped up, which makes it even better. And Mark gets to sit with them in the green room. And they have a very, Mark is known for this unorthodox interview style where he kind of riffs and goes in and out of things, but somehow gets the right answers out. It's very impressive. Mark was dating an artist for a long time, so a lot of the first 5 to 10 minutes is about art and how both Brad Pitt and Leo DiCaprio are patrons and purchase a lot. But what I didn't know, Leo DiCaprio's dad, and they talk about it, was an underground comic book salesman. So he would drive every weekend in a van to Golden Apple in Hollywood and Heidi Ho in Santa Monica and sell underground comics.
Really?
Yeah, and so he was like his dad was even really close with like R. Crumb. Didn't
really?
Know any of this stuff. Brad Pitt talks about his childhood growing up in the Ozarks, another thing I didn't necessarily know.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to Hollywood to act. They talk about, the feeling it is when you know a movie's bad that you're in. They talk about that.
Do they talk about the specific movies?
No, he won't say that. But they do talk about what friends tell them. Like, do you like it? You know, yeah, it's a funny one.
They can tell right away.
Yeah. This is my answer. You're good in it.
Yeah,
that's my answer.
They have a couple of those. You know, I like the music in it, stuff like that. Or how Ed Norton and Brad Pitt went to the premiere of Fight Club in another country, stoned, and no one in the audience laughed at the things because it didn't translate. But they couldn't stop laughing. This is great stories, you get to see like two friends. It's an hour long episode. I don't want to spoil it for you. Here is a small excerpt of Leo DiCaprio when asked when was the moment he knew life would change for him forever.
Yeah, like, what was it? A film called Titanic.
That was it.
That was it. You know, I was in my early 20s already, and I never bothered to look for a house, so I stayed in my mom's guest room into my early 20s. And then the movie started to come out, or the buzz of it, or whatever, and I just remember four SUVs outside my house one day.
Yeah.
And I went to, like, the liquor store to get a soda, and there were the SUVs, and then they just kept following me every day of my life.
Right.
And it was, I was like, okay, This life will no longer be the same.
Was it supermodels?
I mean, that's the other thing.
It was just chicks in SUVs well, waiting for him.
They weren't old enough to drive. Okay, and listen, and the episode is getting a ton of attention because Brad Pitt calls his, very soon after that, talks about how he can never get rid of tabloids. Because Leo DiCaprio says it's much easier now for him. People don't really follow him around.
Yeah, that's true.
And Brad Pitt's like, oh, it'll never stop for me. And Marc Maron asks him earnestly, why? And he answers earnestly, though slightly laughing, but earnestly, because my personal life's a nightmare.
And, wow.
And he's being serious. He's like, yeah, because I've made decisions and things in my life that has made it that way.
Wow.
Very interesting interview, and Maron just kills it. Available for download now for free. It's the newest episode of WTF with Marc Maron, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Brad Pitt.
Fantastic.
Final pick. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone here watch the critically acclaimed football reality show Last Chance U on Netflix?
Absolutely.
No.
It is so good.
It is very, very good. Back in my podcast days, it was one of my more memorable picks because I actually brought it up before it debuted. I had seen a early episode and was like, this is awesome. It is a docuseries on Netflix following the best community college football program in the United States. Okay, so they focus on high-risk athletes. So guys who were in Division I schools that were kicked out for like criminal activity or bad attitudes. They can't stay educationally eligible, right?
Right.
So they pick them up. They have the most active players in the NFL currently.
Wow.
Because they take these chances.
Wow.
And they act up. Okay, now I'm swinging for the fences again. All right? Last Chance U, good. That's a bonus pick. I'm asking you to watch Last Chance U's newest television show, debuting tomorrow on Netflix, called Cheer. It follows the Navarro College cheer team in Corsicana, Texas, a random, unheard of college that has won 14 national championships in the past 19 years.
Whoa. Cheerleading.
Cheerleading. They are the pristine cheer college. They are the, like, it's the top upper echelon. Like, if you dance or you're in a
it's
cheer.
It's like Alabama for football.
Absolutely. Yeah. You get recruited. It's like, it is a intense thing
like
that goes on.
Like, full scholarships
yes.
for these cheerleaders.
And no one's ever heard of it. And it's massive.
Wow.
Led by a hardcore coach named Monica Aldama. This is another reality show that not only, it doesn't focus on idiot housewives turning over tables or, like, people hooking up. This shows what it takes to be part of a dynasty. To be, like, an athletic like a specimen for cheerleading. And it's very specific in a field that I know nothing about, so it's so interesting. A lot of the athletes featured in the show, just like Last Chance U, have troubled pasts. They face injuries, personal setbacks, and there's one incredible storyline, it seems, about a guy who grew up in the inner city where he couldn't face his homosexuality, mm-hmm. and cheerleading obviously was always an interest he wanted to get into, but his background and his friends necessarily weren't supportive at all. It all culminates in a huge final national championships. Six episodes. It comes out tomorrow. Here's a very small clip from the trailer.
People from all over the country come here to cheer for Monica.
Navarro, where is it located?
Zoom in. Where? I guess I'm going there.
My goal was to be the best cheer program in the country.
We only compete once for 2 minutes and 15 seconds in Daytona. That may be your last time in your career.
You are a freaking Navarro cheerleader. It's definitely a privilege.
We have kids that come from broken home or troubled past.
I kind of lost myself. If I wouldn't have came here, I'd be sitting in a jail cell right now.
Yeah, a jail cell.
Dude, I am so in.
It's perfect.
I am so in. It hurts.
It's so good. So again, the three picks this week, the app Just Watch, which tells you where things are streaming. We always have that problem.
Yes.
Where do I watch it? Whatever. This tells you everything you need to know about the services in which to use. WTF with Marc Maron interviewing Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. It is great. It's an hour long. Listen to it. And the new Netflix show, Cheer, which debuts tomorrow on Netflix, and that is my Get Up on This.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up,
get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Man, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the perfect lead-in into this topic.
Yes, it is. It is Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. Let's talk about school teachers. Mm-hmm. And
well, I mean, they're heroes. Not all heroes wear capes.
Correct.
They are heroes. Superheroes, yes.
We had a singles party last year to Vegas. Was it last year? And a teacher called in and said, I need to go because it's my last free weekend before I have to go back to high school, and my kids are a-holes.
They're the worst. Right. I need to drink and have some fun before I go back to those awful garbage little people.
Right.
It's basically what she said.
So we edited out her name and the school because we didn't think that was wise.
Right.
So we are going to be looking for teachers to call anonymously. And the question is, how do you know if one of your kids is going to turn into a psychopath?
Yeah, like what did you hear from a kid and go immediately, well, that's a psychopath.
Yeah.
Like we're building a serial killer.
I was a teacher.
Okay.
What?
Did you guys know that? Yeah,
no.
I graduated with my teaching credentials, so I had to do practicums. So
really?
You didn't know this?
No.
Oh, yeah. I only did it because I had to take mathematics for children as one of the electives, and I was like, I could pass that. Barely did. Anyway, so I, during the course of college, I taught first grade, third grade, and sixth grade.
Okay.
And I will never forget a sixth grader that I had that I was like, he's going to murder at some point.
Really?
And the way I realized it, besides the fact that he said really weird things and he was just, he was one of those kids that you're like, ooh, just keep an eye on him. The way he would stab his Capri Sun.
What?
It was the most aggressive. I'm like, do you even want to drink it?
Or those are you just Capri Suns can be difficult to get that straw
he
in.
He was working something out. It was a bizarre stab of the Capri Sun.
Yeah. Also the fact that he had like goat's blood under his eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. He would put it there like kind of just like
player.
A ritual before
Did
he would
Did you call
stab.
The police and say, I got a kid that's very aggressive with a Capri Sun?
And the police are like, ma'am, please stop. Calling.
You've called every day for the last 10 days. Muggs is in here too.
Weird. Why did you guys call me in here?
Well, because I wanted.
No reason.
I wanted to see if you. Like, I have a child who's way too young to even speak yet, but like, were you ever nervous? Because I am, of hearing my child say things and I'm like, oh, are you a creepball?
Yeah. I'm already at that point. My 3.5-year-old is very, very intelligent, and she picks up every single thing I say. So I have to be very careful about what comes out of my mouth around her.
Because people will then think she's not as intelligent.
You're a jerk.
Sorry, Muggsy.
Well played.
Are you just nervous that she goes to school and just curses out the Dodgers all day?
They're going to blow it this year.
They don't have a bullpen.
Yeah. But I'm more, you know, I'm more concerned about, because when I was a kid, I had ADD before they added the extra, the
yes,
H.
The high definition.
The high definition ADD.
You were standard definition.
Before, yeah. So I was very, very, I couldn't sit still. I couldn't focus in class. And at times, I was disruptive, and I had to visit the principal's office on many occasions. I'm very worried that my daughter might have that trait.
Right.
But then again, she's a girl, so I don't know.
Let me...
Okay. All right.
Because boys are more disruptive than girls.
That's true. Right in my tracks.
Yeah.
Let me read. This is a list of things that you should look for to see if your kid is going to be a psychopath.
And by the way, first of all, we're taking calls from teachers.
Yes.
You don't have to say
your name,
your real name,
school,
your school,
nothing.
What grade.
We don't
grade.
Even want you to say that stuff.
We just want to know about your psycho kids.
Yeah, what has happened that makes you know that there's a psychopath in your class? 1-800-520-1067.
One, superficially charming. Like, almost so charming that you don't buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, you're just like, there's something wrong. Like a clown. You go, oh, no.
Yeah, if a kid shows
Is your
up
daughter
to your
a clown?
As a clown.
A little bit.
You have a problem.
A little bit. They feel no guilt or remorse.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinated by certain things that they shouldn't be. I assume that. Or drawing, you know, some of that stuff's
like
really
killing dogs.
Troubling.
Yeah, I was going to say dragging a dead dog into a classroom. That's probably up there.
Short temper.
Mm.
Look at you, Muggs. I'm just hoping that you're running through these in your mind.
Yeah, I'm going through them.
Mm-hmm. There was one that was true of my daughter, which is punishment insensitive.
So you would punish them, and they're like, eh, who cares?
I'd put her on timeout, and I'd go, okay, you can get up. And she'd go, I'm fine.
But that's
and she'd stay there just to show me.
Oh, so didn't even...
Oh, wow.
No,
see, because I think as a parent, I'm most nervous to say, like, go to your room and no video games. And he's like, there's no good video games out this weekend. And just, like, walks in the room.
And then you feel like you did something wrong.
A no-sell. Like, oh, God, I just picked the wrong punishment. Yeah. That I'm nervous about, yes.
And lack of empathy. So those are the things that
these are all scary.
Terrifying.
But you know what? Little kids don't have empathy yet, for the most part. Like, right? They grow into growing.
I don't know. I feel like I've seen your daughter's been here a couple days. She seems extremely empathetic.
No, she is. But the punishment thing does scare me because she does the same thing.
Well, I mean, this is a bunch of things all together. I don't know that one of them should scare you.
And her drawings of like my beard are way effed up.
They're like snakes.
They're just like, what is this thing?
Are they on fire?
Yeah. What is this?
The drawing of my beard is effed up. Should we get her checked?
Just to let you know what we're going to be running into here. This is a 909, not a teacher, but wanted to let us know that my 5-year-old has been saying his favorite color is red because it's the color of blood.
Yes! Oh, that's a little criteria right there.
I had to stop telling him to
Fantastic.
Say that. Yeah, so that's the kind of stuff we're looking for.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Teachers think their kid that they're teaching might be a psychopath.
Yeah.
Call now. We'll take your calls next. All right. Just ahead of the Chili Peppers, let's take one phone call. You're a teacher.
No, I'm reading these calls.
Oh, good
Kevin, it's
God.
Insane.
You're a
we
teacher.
We opened its Pandora's box.
Do not tell us where you're a teacher at, but you have kids that worry you. They might be psychopaths.
So I teach anatomy, and we dissect a bunch of different animals.
No. Yes, Erica.
And I had a student years ago when we were finished, he would cut off the arms and legs and cut out the eyes and, like, stick the arm in the eyeball.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And he did it multiple times.
Was that the only thing, or did everything else worry you about him?
You need more?
That was it.
You need more?
That was it. He was great.
Did John Wayne Gacy kill just kids or also adults?
An arm sticking out of the mouth.
Oh.
Erica, how old would he be now?
Oh, this was, he's got to be in his late 20s.
I was going to say, is he in my dating pool? Like, I'm a little nervous. Okay.
He's definitely above juvenile hall now.
No.
All right. Oh, your kids, you think they might be psychopaths.
Yes.
We'll take your calls next. 1-800-520-1067. Okay, I got to be honest. Every one of these is worse than I thought they would be.
They get worse and worse.
Every call is gold. We got a text message. I can't call right now because class is about to start, which is a great way to start this. I had a conversation with one kid asking what kind of positive things he does when he's home that he enjoys, and he responded by saying, I only like doing bad things.
Oh,
and he's constantly tormenting other students and teachers.
Wow. That is better than any of the calls we have.
Yeah, that is a very positive text.
Honestly,
thank you, sir.
At this point, that's a palate cleanser.
Oh, no.
All right, where do we start?
I think we have to start with... I think we have to start with 5.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I don't want to say your name.
Don't even say the city.
It's her alias.
It's her alias. Okay. Mishy?
Mishy.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Mishy.
Hey.
Hi. Hi.
So during an IEP meeting, I'm a special education teacher. During an IEP meeting, I was having a conversation with the parent, and she explained to us how she was very concerned and wanting some counseling services for her son, which we already knew needed some counseling services, and that was partly the reason why we were there. Because he, over the weekend, had thrown his pet, his dog, out a second-story window to see if he could fly.
Oh, no. And that's like a major sign. That's like
that's
Dahmer.
That's a huge sign.
Dahmer used to torment pets
pets. How old?
At the time, my student was in 4th grade.
Wow. Did the mom let you know if the dog could fly, or was it a bad?
That would show that this kid is extra smart or something.
The dog apparently couldn't fly because it broke his legs.
Broke his legs.
Great question, though, Allie. It's good follow-up.
Thanks for leading in. I appreciate the follow-up of detail.
Holy moly.
Oh, man.
Let's ask as few questions of these people as possible. All right. You thought your student might be a psychopath.
Mm-hmm. Viola.
Let's go to Viola in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there. So how old and what happened?
So I teach 12 and 13-year-olds.
Oh, no, thank you.
And I had a student come to my class back from expulsion from another school, and she's kind of a violent kid, and so I had to send her out one day because she was getting crazy with another student. And she was really upset, and she was posturing like she was going to fight me, and someone was holding her back, but no one was holding her back.
Oh.
And so as she's walking out the door, she has her water bottle with her, and she opens it up, and she goes, "This is what you have coming for you, snitch." And she pours out the water bottle on the floor of my classroom like
she's pouring it out on a 40 on like the green.
Oh, oh my God.
Oh Whoa. My. Are you dead?
Another great follow up.
I would change my identity. Get a full facelift. I'd get a face off. I'd get Travolta's face.
Poor one out for her homies, but the homie was a snitch.
Wow.
Oh my God.
So she ended up getting expelled again.
Yeah.
But she's back somehow this year.
What?
Yeah.
But does she checks her 45 at the school entrance, right?
That's good.
They don't let her in with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Wow, that's scary.
Well, that serves you right, Viola, for being a snitch.
Terrifying. Terrifying.
All right, let's go to Stephanie in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi.
Your kid, you think, might be a psychopath. We're talking to teachers now.
So I am actually part of the support staff. So I've known this girl since she's in kinder.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fourth grader now. And the things she says and does, my mother's incompetent. I want to kill my teacher.
Oh, no.
Makes me feel like she is the next Jodi Arias.
Yeah,
I've said it before.
Is Jodi Arias the one that killed her boyfriend?
The Mormon. Yes. Yeah.
And then she was like doing...
Calisthenics in the witness room.
Yes,
like
she was crazy.
She had no emotions. Yeah,
no emotion. Like she, I think she slapped one of our new students because she was stealing all her friends. All the attention was going to this new student, and I was just like, "That's not okay." She's like, "I don't care."
Wow,
like, she's stealing all my friends, and just no emotion. Like she'll have tears in her eyes. And then it'll just immediately stop, and she'll like, "We need to go back to class." She'll be like, "Okay," and just stop.
Whoa! I don't like any of these stories.
Unfazed.
You have any follow-up questions, Allie?
I'm terrified.
Okay, same.
No, I don't like any of these.
Thank you, Stephanie.
No.
Let's go to Mrs. B. How about her?
Yeah.
Mrs. B. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How old was the kid, and then what happened?
I was a preschool teacher at the time, so I think he was about 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to draw pictures of himself and his friends and then take a red marker and scribble all over his friends until he tore holes in the paper.
Oh.
And he said that was the blood because he wanted all his friends to die.
Oh, my God.
Nope.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And his mom was a teacher with us, and she just said that, you know, he was just expressing himself. He was just artistic, but all of the other teachers, we thought for sure we're going to have to give interviews on him later in life.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy was also an artist, for the record.
Yeah.
So you fully expected to be interviewed and go, "Yeah, I had him when he was a kid, and he used to just draw red on a
blood on faces of all his friends."
100%. We thought, okay, we're going to have to give interviews. Oh, yes, that's the way he was. He was quiet. He would stare at us teachers over the rims of his glasses and just stare us down. And, he was terrifying.
Well, I mean, that is what you get for being a snitch.
Our point is, if you catch him early, you can make things better.
Mm. We hope. We don't know
what we're saying.
I mean, they only know them as kids.
Jensen, that's what we're saying.
Keeping track.
Listen, speaking of keeping track, if you're playing along at home, since we came back from our Christmas breaks, we have done Do You Know a Murderer? Took calls from people that were like, "Oh, yeah, my mom was shot 8 times. That murderer, my stepdad." Cool.
Yeah.
And then we thought, God, can we make it worse?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Has anyone ever broken into your house and maybe assaulted you?
Right.
Have you ever had a weirdo or creep in your house?
But that was a little lighthearted.
It wasn't? Okay,
we tried
cool.
to make... Okay.
And then today, we're like, hey, do you know any kids that will probably wind up murdering whole towns?
No, we were saying if you catch them early, then you can really help
Kevin
be... positive.
Would you like to point out the... this only helps us.
Okay.
The factor that factors into all of this, the common denominator of all three of these phone topics.
Who came up with the phone topics, your ass?
Jensen. One person. Yeah. Jensen Karp came up with all three of these. What is happening? Can we talk about any issues you're having now?
There was no real reason as to how that happened.
Why are you wearing Joker makeup?
Because why so serious, Alex?
You good?
I don't know why this... Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's Thor Carpe who's coming up with these ideas.
Now you have an alter ego that's super dark.
Yeah. All right, listen, tomorrow...
We're going to do what's your favorite rainbow color.
Yes.
Something that is very upbeat and bright.
How much do you like candy?
To keep us away from... don't say that if you're in a van or whatever. How much do you like candy?
See what Thor is doing?
It's right where Carpe's mind went.
I'm sorry.
Allie, what's happening?
Oh, just... disturbing, you guys.
We'll try and do better tomorrow.
Honestly, I can't wait to see what Jensen comes up
oh,
with.
Oh, we're not going to listen
meeting.
To Jensen for tomorrow.
We'll be like, hey, have any of you ever been stabbed and gutted? Call now.
But lived.
But lived.
Any of your cats have feline
nope.
AIDS? It's an epidemic in the animal community.
You definitely are Debbie Downer. You
yeah,
are
I really
like
am
Donnie
sort of
Downer.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Hey, Alicia Keys is obviously going to be back hosting the Grammys, which I'm excited
Yay!
About. That is Sunday, January 26th on CBS, and it's right here in L.A. this year. And we now have some of the artists that will be performing.
Okay.
They've confirmed this first slate of performers for the 67th? What? Mm-hmm. It's the 62nd annual Grammy Awards set to take the stage
well,
on.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You should be the announcer.
Of all people.
Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. Wow. See, I'm seeing they have people who are now competent.
How
However,
awesome was it of me to really screw that up just so
right.
you could
just
lead into
drop.
That soundbite?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm a gift.
I see. So you did it on purpose.
Team yeah, clearly. Player.
Wow. Thinking in the future.
That's nice.
All right. 2020's Music Cares Person of the Year, which is people, really, if you think about it, is Aerosmith. And they're going to perform a medley of their legendary hits.
Okay.
I'm in for
yeah,
that.
Sounds
sure,
good to
right?
Me. Yeah, sure.
First-time nominee and breakout stars Billie Eilish and Lizzo are each going to make their Grammy stage debuts.
Great. The right decisions.
Absolutely.
I like both.
And then powerhouse artists and couple Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani are going to take the Grammy stage together for the first time.
Okay. Well, Allie is
she's
saying,
doing a hand motion that you can't see at home. It's probably yeah, good.
Probably better for you.
Mm-hmm. She's saying they're going to perform together for the first time on stage.
Right. I don't think it's the first time.
I don't think that's what
No, it's talking. The first time together on stage
But what
performing.
Your hand motions on stage right. probably not the first
That was a microphone. God, what is wrong with you?
I would like to see it.
Again, Sunday, January 26th, Alicia Keys back as the host, and she was so delightful
she was, yeah.
last
I agree.
Year. I am excited for that. Guys, the new Girl Scout cookie for 2020 has arrived.
Let's talk about it. What do we got?
Girl Scout cookie season is upon us, and the Girl Scouts USA has announced their new cookie for 2020, Lemon Ups.
I'm sorry, what?
I said Lemon Ups.
But the name of the new cookie is?
Lemon Up. It's a crispy lemon cookie. Here's the thing. Where's the up come from? Well, it's got uplifting messages baked right into them.
See,
like,
that's what we need like, on this show.
I'm a leader. And hey, I'm a go-getter. I mean, how big are these cookies? How are they fitting all that?
Wussies.
Just two of the possible 8 messages on these cookies. Like, you made fun of me because I have my huge water jug that
Which
says,
is ridiculous.
Doing
yeah.
great. You're, keep going. You're almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite Girl Scout cookies?
Samoa.
Oh,
Easy.
Samoa kills.
Easy.
A tag along.
Easy. Please.
Really?
Yeah, please.
Ugh.
So good.
How basic are those Thin Mint people, right?
You know what? Thin Mints, they had a real rush at the
real
beginning.
Rush, like
the beginning.
In the 80s.
Because it was new.
It was
like,
all
whoa.
Thin Mints.
But now
yeah.
you're a basic bitch.
Now
right?
you're like, oh. And then the people that are like, I don't know. Have you tried freezing them? Yeah, everyone has since yeah. the 80s. Yeah. Like, that's not a new thing. I could eat a whole sleeve of Thin Mints. We know. People have been saying that since the 80s.
Yeah, it's too early.
When is Girl Scout cookie time?
Later this month okay, is when you're going to start getting all those parents coming by. Like, I hate to do this, and you're like, bring it on.
I'm happy to see
them. I don't hate to sign that right there.
Same.
Yeah, Samoa is definitely for me. Are tagalongs the peanut butter?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good, too.
So I could eat thousands yeah. of them. My body
who
doesn't even know.
Who are the shortbread people?
Who are the caramel delights? The Samoas?
That's what, we
That's
both
what we just
said.
Oh,
said
is that what you're into?
We
said I know
Samoas.
Them as I know them as caramel delights. I know them as a different name.
Oh, well, we're more woke than you. You call them Samoas.
Okay.
No one has ever
Hold
called
on.
Them Caramel Delights.
So that's what they're known for
ever.
As Girl Scout cookies.
No, they're Samoas.
They're Samoas.
I would rather have shortbread even. That's
oh
not
my gosh, what's wrong with
the
you?
The truffles. Yeah, I don't
Here's
even,
the thing with the Caramel Delight. Like, I don't even like coconut.
Mm-hmm.
There's something
that's
about
my
those.
That's my issue.
I love it on there. I absolutely like
I
a
love
Caramel
it
Delight. I can feel the tingle right now just in the back, like where your molars are.
Mm-hmm.
I need some right now.
Do you know who's running? I hear running. It's Muggs for sure running into the studio
to talk about cookies. Oh, sure. God, I hope it is.
That's how it works.
He's running. He's running.
He couldn't handle. He couldn't handle people talking about cookies and not be in the studio.
Are you going to give us the breakdown of when they changed the name to Caramel Delights?
Here's the thing. Jensen's right. You're right. You and Kevin. There are two different bakeries of the Girl Scout cookies, guys.
Here we go.
Who knows?
Two different bakeries. How do you know this?
Oh, it's been... Muggs knows everything about the mob. Everything about the mob, and now everything
because
about Girl Scout.
Because it's the mob that makes the Caramel Delights.
Yeah. So one of the bakeries names them Caramel Delights, and then the other is Samoas.
Yeah.
And then they're also... The cookie appearance is different if you line them side by side. Yeah, so... Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, worth it.
Worth the run, man. Worth the run. What is your favorite Girl Scout cookie? Worth the run.
Thin Mints.
Thin Mints, yeah.
You're a basic bitch.
Wow. Run's in here to be a basic bitch. Unreal.
Have you ever tried freezing them?
Get out, Bugs. They are good.
You too, Thor.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. If you put them side by side.
Right?
He goes, you guys are both right. There's two factories. They make them differently.
I don't know why, though.
Had to run in here.
God, I love him so much.
He's a genius in very specific ways.
Guys, not great birthdays. So if it's your birthday, hey, you're great.
I'm watching
great.
Him walk back. It's so sad. Yeah.
He's like limping, too.
Look at him.
Yeah. Oh, he's in pain.
He injured himself coming
he
in
did.
Here.
He did. He pulled a groin. A groin? Or is it just your groin?
Well, he's only got one.
Do you have one groin?
Yes.
No, groin on each side.
Man, we were so close to you saying, and that's what's happening. It's a groin. It's your groin.
One groin.
It's considered
a groin. Yeah, but it's not on your right and your left.
No, it's on both, yeah.
You can put, so you have two groins.
Okay.
You don't have two groins.
You don't?
I mean, you could pull either leg. Technically, you could, I don't know. You were so close.
Kevin, we were so close.
She said, so if it's your birthday, happy birthday. And I was like, yes, we're getting out.
Give a call right now if you have more than two groins. No.
That sounds like a Thor topic.
We'll do that tomorrow.
That's what's happening.
I need some help, you guys.
Okay.
I am not good at remembering names.
It's very difficult. I have problems with it, too.
Some people seem to have no problem at all. If they meet you once, they know your name.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's probably the way we should all be. And I fall very short of that.
You're worse than I am, yeah.
How are you with faces?
Do you at least recognize if you know someone?
That's what makes it bad, is that I recognize them and I go, oh, and by the way, there's this whole category of I know them too well to ask what their name is.
Yeah, because you'll look like an absolute psycho.
I'm an a-hole because I've talked to them 25 times.
Right.
So now you start a conversation where you just try to get them to give you a clue, like in what they're talking about, or somebody else talks to them.
Right.
So sometimes you have the full conversation of just chaos. Like you're just like, good to see you, and you know nothing.
And I've had conversation with them, and I like them, and I talk to them.
You know who they are.
Good conversation. I mean, I know who they are. I don't know their name.
Yeah.
I'm terrible with
names.
Do you
ever go with just like, oh, what's up, governor?
Of course. Yeah. No, not governor.
No? What up, chief?
Nope. I don't go there.
How's it going, babe?
What's up, brother man?
No. I just say, hey, what's up?
What up,
dog? How you been? You know, stuff like that that's like general that doesn't
really remember. But you remember small facts about them? Like, say, for example, it was a guy who you know from your car dealership, but you saw him out in real life, and he helped you once with a repair, and you remember all that, but you just don't remember his name.
Yes, but I'm saying worse than that is that I've had numerous interactions with them.
Like people at work.
No, I'm not going to give an example from somebody at work, but outside of work, definitely not here.
Okay.
At K-Rock.
Right.
Right.
There's a guy.
Uh-huh. Your other job.
Yes, at my other job. There's a guy who I love.
Right.
And who I've had many, many interactions with.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I should know his name.
Absolutely.
And this is what I'm trying to work on in the new year. Maybe you can help me out.
Yeah.
If you want to call 1-800-520-1067. I don't know how people who remember names do
it.
So I know him.
Uh-huh.
I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I've talked to him a lot.
Like there was a point at your other job where you would see him every day on your way out of the station.
Not the station, at my other job.
Oh, right.
No, your other
outside
job
at the fire station.
At the fire station.
He is a volunteer firefighter.
Right. Your other job is that you are a volunteer firefighter, and this is the person you see every day you leave the station.
So this happened to me at a Kings game the other night.
Okay.
Somebody that I was talking to, their friend who I know really well.
Uh-huh.
I text back and forth with all the time.
Okay.
There's no possible way I could forget her name.
Right.
Did.
Someone that you text with?
Yes.
What's her name in the text?
I'm not telling you.
No, but you know the name is in the text.
Yes, but I don't have the text up.
And you can't be like, hold on, please, and then look through your text and be like, hello, Diane.
Yeah. No. This wasn't even the girl that I... Okay, I'm saying too much. It wasn't even the person I was talking to. It was that person's friend who I also know really well and text back and forth with.
I don't see how you made it any better there.
I can't. He goes, it wasn't my friend. It was another person I texted who I'm friends with.
Listen, I text so many bitches.
No,
I can't keep them straight.
No, that's not what I meant at all.
You got hoes in so many area codes.
Again, Whitey.
This is not.
You have a lot of hoes in different area codes.
That's not my point.
And zip codes.
Because the guy whose name I couldn't remember in my other job is a guy, so it's not that.
Right.
So. I can't remember his name.
Okay.
So I came up with a way of remembering his name.
Okay.
And I don't like it.
All right.
And so why would you not like it?
Because his name is Jared.
Okay.
And I remember him by Jared from Subway.
Oh, God.
Because hold on. Now I need to ask some follow-ups.
Yes, please.
Is it because he's a pedophile?
Nope.
Okay. That's a good start.
But that's my issue, is that...
He's a sandwich artist.
No.
Is that as bad as a pedophile?
No.
Wait, hold on. Is that what you were alluding
to? It was a close second to Ellen.
Hold on.
Does he ride a Subway?
No.
Does he look like Jared?
No.
Not even a little bit.
Okay.
And you know who I'm talking about.
Well, it's Jared.
It's Jared, Kevin.
We know, it's Jared.
It's Jared from the fire station. We all know that now.
But I'm saying, what a horrible way to remember somebody's name.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
that's not a great way to do it, but...
I'm going to run out of pedophiles at some point, and then I'm going to need something else to
it would be
people's
funny,
names.
It would be funny if we called Jared, and Jared's like, that's fine, man. I remember you because of Kevin Spacey.
Again, a terrible way to remember someone's name, right?
Yeah. Right. Interesting, because I used to, when I would see him, I would always sing the Jared the Ring commercial.
Oh, give it to Jared or whatever.
No, I'd be like, it can only be Jared.
I don't even know that song.
And he's like, please stop.
If I knew that song, maybe it would help.
So maybe he'd rather be...
How many times did you come to the fire station? Sounds like you were there a lot. All right, let's see if Manny can help in Hollywood. Good morning, Manny. Hello.
Yes, well, I got advice for this because I suffer from the same condition.
Excellent.
And,
please help.
The girl told me, just repeat the person's name three times, like, hello, Susan. Nice to meet you, Susan. So how are you, Susan?
Three times.
And that's supposed to help.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Out loud or just in your head?
No, to her, to the person.
No one does that.
Manny,
that's so awkward.
Susan's going to think you're crazy.
Manny, Susan? Nice to meet you, Susan. Susan, I like you.
let me ask Manny. You're saying not in a row. You're saying in a conversation.
Exactly.
Okay.
In the same conversation, like, nice to meet you, Susan. Yes.
But you're saying near the beginning. It's important to sort of repeat it, right?
Yes, Kevin. Kevin, that's true. Kevin, that's what he's saying.
That's ridiculous. Does it work for you, Manny?
Yes, Bean. Like I said, Bean.
Bean!
Nicely done.
Oh, I love it.
Well played.
I also
right.
love
well
that played. Manny started it with, I too suffer from this condition.
It's a condition! Are you guys good at it?
Okay.
Are you good at it, Jason?
No, I'm very... But I actually take it one step further. There are a lot of people who come up to me, and I don't know who they are. And I have
Oh, I see. So you don't even recognize them that you should know them.
And I've promised myself that I would say, hey, man, I got to be honest with you. My memory's not great.
I can't do that. It's too many
hard.
People.
I've done it a couple times, and it's hard every time.
Manny, how many times do you do it? Like, how many times do you not remember somebody's name that you 100% should?
Oh, my God. 99%. 99%.
Wow.
Yeah. You're running right up there with me. This is bad.
When I first meet a person, I'm so... focused on making a good impression, that I don't pay attention to the name, and I forget it right away.
That's a little sad.
Okay, maybe it is a condition. Now I feel bad for making fun of you saying it's a condition.
Manny, you bring a lot to the table.
Oh, Manny, we
Manny,
love
people
you.
Love you just the way you are.
Yeah, remember their names, but also, like, remember your own name, if you know what I mean.
He's like, my name's not even Manny. I can't remember it.
We need you to call us right now. We're not going to tell you why.
Well...
1-800-520-1067. Yeah. We're going to tell you why right away.
Yeah, I just want you to know you're controlling the show. This is like choose your own adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 1-800-520-1067. Mm-hmm. You call, and then we're going to explain to you exactly what you are going to decide.
Yeah. So do it now, because I have something important to tell you about.
And by the way, Rob Hubel is coming in.
Hey!
Next hour.
Can't wait
for that.
That's not the thing we're making you decide
no,
on.
No, not at all.
Whether or not to send
that's
Rob home. No.
Medical Police is a new show that's on Netflix on Friday, and it's great. We've
that's
seen
a good
it,
show.
And we love it.
That's a good show. But talking about TV shows, maybe... maybe this isn't one we would promote to people to watch.
Well, that's okay. So that's the question.
We've talked about it before. The show is called.
Hold on. Okay. Yeah. They're
on.
Everybody's calling. Okay.
My Feet Are Killing Me.
Right.
It's on the TLC network, and it is a television show where people with horrific foot stories, like conditions, disorders, injuries, birth defects. These people go into podiatrists and surgeons, and then they talk about their problem, and then doctors sit down and work on them.
See, I thought it was going to be at most like bunion, like hammer toe. You got something jacked up with your foot.
Now, I would say those are things.
Those are annoying, but they don't make a TV show.
Those are things that get brought up.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. But when it's an extreme case of these things.
Okay.
And when I mean extreme, I mean 10 out of 10. I sat down the first time to watch it, as I told you guys. I got through 12 minutes. I said, this is the I got sick. I got nauseous.
Okay. Right.
And then you guys, because you're a radio show, sort of told me yesterday that you wanted to talk about it more. Go watch it.
That was said.
Yes.
Not by me.
Okay. Then I
don't want to talk about that.
I sat down and recorded it. I did everything I needed. I pulled clips from even just one foot injury. It's just one guy who goes in.
Okay.
I have photos.
Okay.
I have audio clips, and I will explain it to you guys, and people will hear us react to the photos and the story and clips.
Because you told just a brief part of the first time, the 12 minutes you got through.
Yeah.
And I was dry heaving in the office just hearing him describe it.
The good news is that's the one I brought in.
Oh, no.
So what I'm saying is I am giving you, the listener, the power. Mm-hmm. You can say yes, bring on the feet, like a Quentin Tarantino director.
Yeah.
Or two, no feet for me.
No feet for me.
And then we do a different segment.
Is this Feed It or Beat It?
I don't hate it.
Don't hate it either. So when we ask you, it's Feed It or Beat It.
Time for a scientific survey.
It's time for Kevin and the Morning Scientific Survey.
Didn't know that had been changed. I was very worried
very
about
good.
That. Okay. So we take five calls. Three decide it, legally binding.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, first we have to go three. With it. We don't even have another segment set up.
Correct.
So good luck, everyone.
Let's start with Cody in Culver City. Good morning, Cody.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you for
Cody.
Being a juror this morning.
Thank you so much. Your civil duty, I appreciate it.
We appreciate it. So
my pleasure. So I think we got to feed it, right?
Oh, come on!
I don't have a feed it, but I'm just going to go with... okay, good. I'll add a feed and a top.
Okay.
Cody, one up. All right.
Okay.
Getting my pictures ready.
What I was hoping
Cody
for.
Knows every foot has a story.
Yeah, it's true.
That
it's
is
true.
Their tagline.
Everyone has said that.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Sergio in Lake Forest. Good morning, Sergio.
I'm good on feet.
Wait, hold on.
So
no,
that's
a meaning
beat.
Like no. Right.
That's a beat it.
Is that a no?
Yeah.
No, you mean you're good, like you want to hear it?
No, that's a thumbs down.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Beat it. All excellent.
Right. Sergi, no.
1-1.
What?
Wow. All right. 1-1.
Does it mean anything that we printed out six photos?
Oh, God.
Oh.
Yes, it means
spirit.
I don't want to do it.
And that one is post-surgery?
Oh.
All right.
Which isn't any better than pre.
It's tied up. 1-1.
Amanda in Sherman Oaks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank
morning.
You for being a juror. We appreciate it. Thanks. We're doing a scientific survey. Feed it or beat it?
Feed it.
More like Amanda.
A little tighter.
Hold on.
See, don't do the
Oh. I don't know why I say
I don't either.
All right,
I'll
try
understand.
It again next time.
Okay.
All right, 2-1.
So it's 2-1, yes.
Mm-hmm. Amanda and Cody, what's wrong with you guys?
All right, let's go to Lauren in Los Angeles. Lauren, a lot riding on this.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren.
A lot riding on your decision.
Okay.
Feed it or beat it?
Feed it.
I don't know.
I didn't hear it.
She's got to be more direct.
With a buh or a fuh?
Beat it.
Okay, that doesn't help.
Still can't.
Is it B as in boy?
As in boy, yeah.
Beat it.
All right.
Beat it. Okay, we are tied up.
It's tied up.
2-2. I thought she was giving us both. I thought she was like, fuh, beat it.
She was just trying to confuse us?
Yeah, trying to give in the middle.
All right, so 2-2.
Wow.
So that means the last person we go to is going to decide.
Yeah.
Jeff's got all the pressure on his shoulders in Long Beach. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
You're our last juror. You get to decide, feed it or beat it.
Feed it with an F.
Oh!
Yes!
Son of a bitch.
You know what that means?
Why would you do that, Jeff?
Next.
Oh, no.
That was Kevin in the Morning Scientific Survey.
Supermassive black hole is what Jensen has become, people. He's the one that came up with the phone topics?
Listen, it was in the audience's hands. It wasn't up to us. The listeners decided whether or not we were going to eat it or beat it, and we have feeded it.
Honestly, I feel like we can blame Cody, Amanda, and Jeff.
Especially Jeff,
who was the deciding factor.
Vote.
Damn you, Jeff.
So, because if you're just tuning in, I watched a show called My Feet Are Killing Me on the TLC network, and I feel human trauma from it. I only got through 12 minutes. I felt like I was going to gag. I needed to vomit. I told the radio show this. I told them during a meeting, and then they decided I should watch it, pull clips and photos, and then
We didn't say photos. No one said photos.
Oh, maybe I made that part up. But I do have photos.
Rachel tweeted and said it's not fair of you to put your trauma on other people.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not
again,
cool.
Not the decision I made. That was from the listeners, and we are now legally binded to have a segment about the show, My Feet Are Killing Me. Now, before we do it, it's very important that I play you a warning that is directly from the show.
This program examines podiatric medical conditions and the procedures involved with treating them. Due to their graphic nature, viewer discretion is advised.
And that is not an understatement, guys. This show is disgusting. I almost think nothing on television has ever been shown this gross.
Stop.
Even that Ryan Seacrest show where he shows up at your house.
Knock Knock Live.
Even that one is not as disgusting.
I love that one.
Well, you're going to love this then.
Remember when he did the commercials for how it was going to happen?
And then I'll knock.
And then I'm going to watch this. And he would knock on the door to show us how that was going.
There might be more personality in this show, but not as gross.
I don't love it already, but go ahead.
Here we go. I was going to bring in a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. My goal was to say, here's four or five different cases. But number one, couldn't get through the first one. So I just did the first one for you guys. And it is disgusting.
Okay.
His name is David in New Jersey. First, I'm going to play you a clip.
I mean, the chips are against him already.
Right?
The doctor sits down to figure out the problem.
Are you in pain right now, David?
That foot's more pain than this one. That hurts like hell.
And that's your nails are pressing against the toes?
Correct, probably, yeah.
Okay. We're going to get you back walking. Pain-free.
Well, I just hope you didn't have a big breakfast today. Man, no, you're in for a shocker.
It takes a lot.
Okay.
Just ingrown toenails?
Well,
that's the problem.
Remember, he still has his shoes on at this point.
Oh,
Allie, I'm going to tell you that this is the only one he could get through. That's how bad this is.
This is how bad it is. Okay. And he was wearing shoes at this point.
He's still wearing shoes. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm thinking to myself, how bad could it be?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem. And also, the podiatrist had such an ego. You heard it.
Yeah.
I mean, takes a lot or whatever. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
We learned that David had a troubled past of health, including brain aneurysms as a kid and some blood disorders.
Wow.
How that plays into his feet isn't really fully explained, but your feet are one of the first places which you show bad health. Like, things can get messed up with your feet, and it kind of reflects
really?
More. Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Because there's no, like, attention given to them because his mother passes away, which was very hard for him. And in the last 2 years, he hasn't taken care of his feet at all. So it's time for the doctor to see what's going on, and he proceeds to take off his shoes and socks.
And right there is where I turn off the show.
Yeah, no need.
I turn it right off.
And despite saying
Unless
it
I'm
takes
Destiny
a lot,
and I
guys,
can't change the channel. What?
It's a lot. Here it is.
When I removed David's socks, there was just flakes and flakes and flakes coming off of his feet. Sorry, buddy. I know it's... Let me check your left foot also. All right. Almost off.
Just yank.
Okay.
I don't ever want to hear just yank.
Wow. I mean, I've seen bad cases. This is the worst case of toenail fungus that I've seen.
As he's taking off the person's sock, layers of skin are coming off with the sock. Ladies and gentlemen, because of the scientific survey and because I am legally binded to talk about this segment, may I introduce to you your first photo?
No.
Wait, I don't even know. I don't understand what I'm looking at.
That's
a foot.
That's an orangutan.
This is a foot.
I don't understand where the foot is.
Is that a foot of King Tut?
That's a great question, Muggs.
These are toes. These are toes.
Oh, my God.
These are toes. And also, may I point out the hair that's in the middle of the foot.
No.
No.
What's the thing jutting out of it?
How are you looking at this,
Allie? Those are fungus. That's fungus.
It's like an eraser head of some sort.
Yes, that's fungus.
Looks like an extra toe.
That's
like
gross.
He's got like 12 toes.
Those are gross.
Wait, this is only picture one?
That's picture one.
And that's it, everybody. Thanks for joining.
I have to keep moving.
Wow.
As the doctor goes on to basically use a shearing tool, I swear to God, it's like
for sheep?
Yeah, it's like a cheese grater. It's like edgy.
No.
He, it's an able to get his skin off, and then he uses shearing scissors to remove the toenails.
Oh.
Shearing scissors.
Like on Dumb and Dumber when they had to use the big, like, circle thing, and then they drill his toe.
You might be asking yourself, and I'm ready for photo, too.
Okay.
You might be asking yourself, what does the toe look like up close?
No.
And I'm sure all of you, all three of you asked, so I have a photo of that. This is the toe up close. This is what the toe looks like.
Oh, my God.
Just up close so
Why
you can see it.
Why is this happening?
So he has to deal with cutting that off.
Jeff, I'm not a fan of you.
Look at the look at the bottom.
No.
How? The sole.
How do you let your foot and toe get to that point?
Well, those who are listening on the radio, here's a clip to explain what Kevin and Allie and Muggs are looking at.
This is the worst case of toenail fungus that I've seen.
David's nails were so long that they were curling on top of each other and almost bridging together. His skin was flaking off. You could literally take little pieces of it off. It looked like a croissant.
Great. Now I'll never eat a croissant.
Never. That is the worst croissant
Screw
ever.
Screw this doctor.
May I present to you croissant and photo number three? This is a toe that is growing into itself through a nail.
I'm going to throw it out.
And that looks like, and may I add, the white.
It looks like ram's horns.
It is. It looks like ram's horn. And the white, I want to tell you guys.
You're going to have to give me a visual cue for the clip because I'm not looking.
Well, this white, I think, is also growth inside of the nail.
As
you can see, not only has it been infected in the nail, but.
Ew, it's like feta cheese
that's
inside.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like feta cheese.
Oh.
What? Stop saying cheese.
Clip. Here's our new clip. This is what the doctor has to do to fix these monster feet.
Cut
if somebody
his feet off.
Neglects their feet like this, it can harbor infection.
You
this
think?
Can be a really serious matter. You have corns that are diving into the skin.
Oh, I know. Feels like walking on landmines.
So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to carefully cut through all of the nails.
Well, if you see me skyrocket through your ceiling, you know that had to hurt.
All right.
Okay.
Just, I'm with Allie. Just cut off the feet.
Yeah, call
Just
it
cut
a day,
the feet
dude.
Off.
Well, here we go.
I'm going to chip away at David's toenails. They're going to be removed. I'm going to file them down so it looks like a normal foot.
That one hurt.
Yeah, that one. A little bleeding there.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Somewhere along the line there, he got nicked. His skin tore when I was taking care of him. And that was because of years of his toes being stuck together. And unfortunately, he started to bleed.
Listen to the doctor. He's like, not my fault.
Unfortunately, it was him. He didn't take care of himself. Mm-hmm. What does he wear to cover these things up? I mean,
shoes, but they're much too big. Like he basically
he's like a size 4 and he wears size 12?
Yeah, he has to wear like socks and then big shoes.
Oh.
This is after some cleaning.
Are we finished?
This is after some cleaning. Your next photo.
That's a...
This is after some cleaning, taking down the nails.
God, that's
after what you just
that
heard.
That looks like in a coroner's office.
It does.
It's a dead foot right there.
Yes.
That's what is dead.
It's rotting.
Luckily, they stop the bleeding and things slow down a bit because then he pulls something very significant from inside his foot.
Thankfully, for everybody, David's foot stopped bleeding.
That's
I was
where
so
my
relieved.
Remote is.
I've been looking everywhere.
You're not far off.
Well, just don't stop. Keep cutting until you get to the other side.
Right.
Timeout. Ooh.
Can you call a timeout in surgery?
That right there just came off your big toe.
Here it is.
What?
No.
Here's
what?
Your photo.
No.
This came off his big toe.
What is that? That's a small toe, by the way.
It's like another toe.
It is another toe.
He had like another toe neck on top of his toe. And this is what came off of it. It's actually, it's like, looks like a Cheeto.
Why are you doing this to us?
Look at this, a white cheddar Cheeto.
Great, now I'm never eating Cheetos. Stop naming things I
croissants
like.
Croissants and Cheetos are now out.
Listen, I'm going to spare you the rest of it.
Thank you.
But please know that this is just the beginning.
No.
Do you want to know how many more minutes are in the show?
God.
40. I only watched like 15 minutes. There's 40 minutes left. It involves continuing more work on his foot and now with a woodworking tool.
What?
It sounds like it's like a jackhammer.
Like a solder or something?
Yeah.
Or, here's my question.
Yes.
Do we find out if his feet look normal now?
They have like an after photo where they're beautiful?
Yeah.
So at the end they do show, they show you how he can walk, which is still not well. He's still getting to a better point, but yes, they do some miracle stuff with his feet.
Oh.
But I don't see how it's ever going to be just like a normal foot. I don't see that, no.
Hey, Kevin, my feet aren't looking so bad when I come to work in flip-flops now.
No, you can wear flip-flops anytime.
Just, I do want everyone to remember.
Every foot is like a story.
And it's your fault that I've showed those photos.
6.7 KROQ. Mm-hmm. Morning, Allie Jensen.
I mean, listen, again, there's only one group of people to point out when you talk about how disgusting you are.
We did a scientific survey to try and avoid that.
Yeah. Correct. I blame Jeff.
Jeff was the deciding factor.
Yeah. Jeff, you can go straight to hell for what you just
Do you guys want to know some of the response we've had?
Reviews are in.
Yeah, reviews are in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Friend of the show, Marin Dungy, tweeted, you can all go straight to hell with that last segment.
Okay.
Puke face at Kevin Mornings.
Agreed.
Hashtag Cheetos, hashtag croissants. Kelly's Cookies on Twitter, thank you, Kevin Mornings. I just threw up in my mouth and I can't even see the pictures.
Yeah.
Alejandra on Twitter also, what the fudge? Kevin Mornings, the visual pictures of your toenail descriptions have me puking. Mm-hmm. I won't ever eat a croissant.
Imagine this poor man, Luis. He said, came in late to the segment. I thought it was going to be a foot fetish thing. Oh, that poor... What a roller coaster,
he's
Luis.
He's all horned up, ready, and all of a sudden
right?
this happens.
He's got his lotion out, and he's like, what is happening?
For the record, anything can be a fetish thing. It's up to you.
Not that.
Okay.
Not that.
Just letting you know that.
Rob Hubel might or might not be here. We don't know.
Maybe
he heard
that. Turn the car around.
Same.
I'd be like, I'm not going in there. Those people are sick.
Same.
Every foot is like a story.
Yeah. We don't need... that anymore.
Right.
What's happening, Allie?
I'm so mad at Jeff. I'll never get over what Jeff did to us.
Right?
Honestly. Jeff, call now. I feel like we need to speak to you.
All right. If Jeff wants to explain himself, he could do it on the Afro line.
Yeah, Jeff, call the Afro line and let us know if you're okay with that decision. You sick, sick man.
Yeah.
And you're not off the hook, Amanda and the first guy.
The other one.
Who was the first guy? Do we remember?
Cody.
Cody.
Yeah.
Cody, Amanda, and Jeff.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch. Mm-hmm.
That actually sounds like the guy that was getting his footwork done.
Does. I hope you see me jump out of my chair.
The scary part is he was worried for the doctor. Okay, let's stop talking about this. Allie, what do you got? Anything else?
I haven't been able to swallow.
Can you help?
What?
Oh.
Like...
Where's my bell? I was hitting the desk all over the place. I couldn't find a bell.
It's just everything. I hate today.
I agree.
I hate today.
We'll be more positive tomorrow.
Will we?
We will. I'm leaving Thor at home.
It's just going to be me. Everything tomorrow is going to be super positive and upbeat.
Puppies, what's up?
Right, uh-huh. Yes.
Give a call right now. You like puppies?
Yeah. What's your favorite color in the rainbow?
Yes.
Red, because it's like blood.
No. That would be bad. That would be Thor. We'll stop that.
All right. Well, Jennifer Lopez's production company is being sued for $40 million by a woman named Samantha Barbash. She's the one who inspired J-Lo's character Ramona in Hustlers. Barbash claims that the film's producers approached her before production to, quote, obtain a consent waiver from her for the production of the film and their ultimate portrayal. She refused to sign off on the consent or waive her privacy rights. So she's saying that the characters in Hustlers were portrayed as using and manufacturing illegal substances in her home where she lived with her child. And she's like, that's not true. It was untrue and offensive. Here's the part that I'm like, how are you going to do that? She also wants all copies of the film returned.
Mm-hmm.
So
what?
I feel like you need to leave an address where we could send our copies at the very least.
Do I have to send the case or just the disc?
It doesn't say, but I'm sure she wants the case too.
This also happened back when The Hangover came out and that Mike Tyson tattoo. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, no.
The tattoo artist owned the artwork and the people who made The Hangover didn't clear it at all.
Oh, no.
So that dude was like suing, and I want all future copies and showings of the movie to have it blurred out. And he didn't win the case, but they settled out of court, so he won.
I wonder how much he got.
There's a lot of rumors online, and it is a lot of money, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so now they clear all that stuff in movies.
I need to get a face tattoo now.
Yeah.
You can get a lot of money.
I've always been saying that.
You can make a lot of money with those.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard.
With the...
Yeah.
And the...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
In.
Hey, you want an upbeat story?
Yes, please.
A New Orleans man dropped his wallet containing $2,500 in a Walmart parking lot, and it was returned to him. The man had just gotten paid, returned to the store to look for his wallet, and was overcome with emotion when a store clerk said that an elderly woman had returned it. So he gets paid, puts all that cash in his wallet, accidentally drops it in a parking lot. That's good as gone.
If
you even get the wallet back, usually the cash is the first thing
you're
that's
just
gone.
Happy about the wallet,
yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
Firsthand, remember what I went through when Danielle lost her wallet? We were like, oh, we must have. And then someone started charging the card over and over. Yeah. We're like, oh, that was not a loss. That was stolen.
I remember when I dropped a wallet outside of my car, forgot it, had to drive back to that street the next day. The wallet was up on the curb. ID, credit cards, everything still in it. They took $5 in cash, oh. left everything else. I was like, oh my God, I love this person.
Yeah, you're fine with that.
So much.
Yeah. They deserve the $5.
$2,500 still all there.
$2,500 in cash.
Wow, how are her
feet?
So not
only is the elderly woman that turned it in lovely, but whoever at Walmart that was holding it, lovely as well. They
hey, I found a
anything.
Wallet with $1,000 in it.
Oh, right.
You know or, what I mean? No, I'm saying like, yeah. that's you... I would assume that's what would happen.
And she's going to lose her house!
I don't know
well,
if
I mean,
that
she
works.
Should have kept the money
I
then.
Think that's
she should have used it for herself.
Let's just pretend this whole hour
I
didn't
agree.
Happen, and I'm just going to say...
What about last hour?
And the last hour. Listen, 5 to 7 was fine.
Tomorrow, let's just have a very upbeat show. We'll just right. Everything will be very positive.
5 to 7 was fine, and mm-hmm. between now and right. the end of the show is fine.
I okay. should have realized when I looked at the list of birthdays today, and right. there was no one I'd mentioned.
That except dead people.
There was no, except dead people. Elvis, David Bowie, and Stephen Hawking, all mm-hmm. born today, but we don't do dead people.
Unless we don't have alive people.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, there's nothing to celebrate in terms of birth.
Well, I mean, it's fitting for the world we live in, so.
Yeah, all right, that's what's happening.
This is Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen.
Carol Q.
Hey, Rock.
And joined by Rob Hubel.
Yay!
Whoa, hi mm-hmm. kids.
Hello.
Good morning. Love Rob Hubel.
Hi, guys.
So happy to have him in here.
Spent some time in traffic today?
There's a little. If you live in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. you might know that there's a little bit of traffic mm-hmm. here.
Right.
And I think I punched a hole in the roof of my car. You know how when you're driving, you start punching the roof?
Yeah.
I literally, I think I punched through the roof.
You did.
Yeah.
Was your hand stuck outside?
My hand was stuck outside. But it's great for giving people the bird. Now I can just,
it's much easier.
Yeah, it's way easier.
You should come earlier.
Yeah, I should.
So, like, you should be our guest at like 5:30 when there's not much traffic.
That's mm-hmm. the way to do
we
it.
We could use the company.
Right. Yeah.
My wife used to do that. My wife used to do the morning news here in L.A. And so she would get up at like, she'd be at work on NBC at 3 a.m. And I was like, what? Yeah. And like, we never saw each other.
My alarm, my alarm would go off at 2:30 a.m. And as a reporter, we had to do our own hair and makeup.
Yeah, she
we
did
weren't
too.
Anchors.
Yeah, well, she did
like,
too.
F you.
Yeah.
That's why I looked awful every day on the air. Not my fault. Not my fault.
Everyone on the news is doing their own makeup and hair. It's just
Rob's wife was on the side of buses, though, and that made me happy all the time. I knew someone on the side of a bus.
I know. One time there was a car chase, and you know how it's such a big deal, and like they cut to the car. You know, they want the car chases.
Oh, yeah, clear.
Of course. Yeah.
So do we.
And I love them.
I know. It's so cool. And then one time the car that was being chased by the helicopter went right by one of my wife's like billboard trucks.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, NBC's just paying them to steal cars.
Yeah,
like,
for
so
sure.
This is all
follow it. Yeah, follow it around.
So for 30 years, this was Dave and the Kevin and Bean Show. He mm-hmm. has left.
Yeah.
But during like the riots, we were counting Kevin and Bean shirts as people were like running out of the store with a television.
It was
the best.
Our demo.
Good times.
It's good times.
Crazy marketing technique.
Yeah. Rob is here to talk about a TV show that we have all seen called Medical Police.
Yes.
Thank you.
And it's great.
And it's the spinoff from the beloved Children's Hospital.
It is.
Which went on for
a long time.
Not enough for me.
Not long enough.
It's the one show where like 7 seasons or something wasn't enough for me.
Yeah.
And this is not only like the spiritual spinoff in a sense that now they deal with sort of the tropes from NYPD shows and different kind of like procedurals. They're still doctors, though.
They're doctors and police.
It makes no sense. Can you imagine being a doctor and a cop? Like, that would be the best. You
at
shoot
the
people
same
and then you
time.
You save them.
And then you save them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just so beautifully absurd.
It's so silly.
It's so silly and great.
Yeah.
I was telling Rob during the break that when I watch a show and I verbally say out loud to no one in my living room, this is so stupid.
So stupid.
That means I love it. And I said it 15 times.
I know.
During 2 episodes.
I do the same, because like we shot this like a while, you know, like a few months ago. And so mm-hmm. I hadn't seen it until recently. And I started watching it. And I was laughing hard, but I was doing that thing where it's like, you know, now I laugh at stuff and I go, so dumb. It's so dumb. But like, that's the sort of
it's
stuff that I like.
Compliment.
It's like stuff that's like so funny, but so dumb.
And a huge runner in Children's Hospital is that they are in Brazil.
Yeah.
The doctors are practicing in Brazil, but they clearly don't film it there.
No.
But in this case, you tricked me a couple times.
Yeah.
You guys travel to many different countries
we
on
did.
The show.
We did. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Are they all Burbank?
We've gotten really good at tricking people. There's some driving stuff in Brazil.
Yeah, that was the one I was thinking about.
We basically hire someone in Brazil to drive around in the same model car.
Is that
amazing? With tinted windows, so you can't see who's driving it.
Right.
So that's most of the budget goes to that
sort of stuff.
Yeah, car driving in Brazil.
Yeah,
and it's high budget stuff right here.
And then the other trick we did is we shot like half the show in Croatia, which for real, we went to Croatia for like a few weeks just because it's all vaguely European. Like you couldn't tell.
Did that double for Italy?
It doubled for everywhere. It's like Italy. It's like 10 different countries because you can't. No one's been to Croatia. Like no one knows what it looks like. So we just use it for every country.
Amazing.
So, you know, the plot of this show is that there's this crazy outbreak of a virus, and me and my character and Aaron Hayes' character have to, like, fly all over the world to try to, like, save the world. Literally, it's like the two dumbest people trying to save the world.
And you guys are recreating your characters from Children's Hospital. And if you're a fan of Children's Hospital, you see everyone come back, including Emmy winner Henry Winkler.
Yes. Oh, so good.
He's
crazy.
So delightful in
He's the sweetest guy. Yeah. Again. But the other thing that I try to tell people is, like, you don't have to know anything about Children's Hospital to know this show at all. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that's true.
Yeah.
But go back and watch Children's Hospital.
Oh, for sure.
It's like 12 to 15 minutes or whatever.
They're only they're like 12 minutes long.
It's so easy to catch up on. It's so good. Yeah. But you don't have to have seen it.
Yeah, so that Children's Hospital had, like, zero plot at all. It was just jokes.
This show
has, like, a real, because it's Netflix, so it's like, it has to have a plot, evidently. Thanks, Netflix.
Rude.
You have to have money to pay a driver in Brazil to fake it.
Yeah.
But you know, Netflix wants it to be very bingeable, so everything has to end on like a cliffhanger.
It does.
So this one has like a real sort of action-y plot to it where we're trying to, you know, save the world. And so we had to go to Croatia to shoot all these locations. And the weird thing about that is that we had the crew, all of our crew there was from Game of Thrones. Like they were between seasons.
No, really?
Yeah. And so.
And they're like, what am I doing?
Yeah. They're literally like, that's not a comedy crowd.
No.
You know, like they kept saying, like, where are like the dragons? Like, why don't you cut her head? Well, cut her head off. Why don't you cut her head off? That would solve the problem.
And I doubt that they understand the absurdity. No, it's like, why is he continuing to do that? Why did he jump out of a window and miss a mattress?
You know how like when you're shooting stuff here, like, you know, you can see the sound guy or the camera guy laughing. Mm-hmm. So you know, like, okay, good.
This is
going to be funny. Over there, like, it's just dudes smoking, that, like, not laughing.
It's so disconcerting. Yeah. How do you even pay attention?
Yeah, they're not, like, it's not a comedy crew at all. So that was, like, it was pretty rough.
It comes out when? Friday?
Friday. Did you have to learn all that fighting for real?
Yeah, well, we do a lot of the fighting. Like, they have stunt doubles that look a lot like you.
And also don't.
By the way, stunt doubles always look a lot like you.
They do.
Well, no, Children's Hospital used to.
We can't afford
them. Runner, where every once in a while the person was clearly not the person, but yes.
Yeah, and that was not supposed to be funny. We just couldn't afford good stunt people. But yeah, we had a little bit more money for this show, so there are some pretty, you know, it's an action show, so there's like a lot of crazy, there's like skydiving and car chases and fights. But I am pretty dumb about that stuff, because like I always want to do it, and then I figure out, oh, I can't do this anymore. Like I'm getting
anymore.
Hurt.
Did you used to be able to do it?
I think when I was younger, but like now I just end up like spraining my neck.
What are you, 30? What are you talking about when you were younger?
I'm 21. But but one time like I actually knocked myself out, not on this show, but on a different show. I was just supposed to like kind of gently fall onto the sidewalk, and like they were going to cut it together so it looked like I fell out of a building. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make it look cool, so I like jumped onto the side, like belly flopped onto the sidewalk.
Not smart.
That doesn't seem smart.
The last thing I remember was I heard my head hitting the pavement.
You had me at the last thing I remember.
Yeah. And then I heard the crew go, oh!
was Andrew Dice Clay on the crew?
Yeah. Andrew Dice Clay was our camera guy. He goes, oh!
Little Miss Muffet! Pupil, you okay?
Get that dude to the hospital.
But, Rob Hubel is here. We need to take a quick break. Medical Police is the name of the show. It debuts Friday on Netflix, and we'll be right back. Congratulations to Jesse Betancourt from Ontario. Got tickets to see Coldplay at the HD Radio Soundspace.
All right.
Which is 75-80% finished.
Bring a hammer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to put you to work, but you're going to see Coldplay.
Yep. So congratulations. You get a chance to win all day here on K-Rock. Rob Hubel is in the studio with
us. Is Coldplay going to help with the construction?
Well, we think so.
We hope so.
We think they're going to have to.
They should.
We'll just have hard hats and like hammers hanging around.
He's definitely done like charity work building houses in like Africa. That's so him. So I think he could help us.
Yeah.
And in the audience as well.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That'd be cool.
Jesse, bring a saw.
Yeah, chip in.
Help us
bring a saw.
Yeah, whatever.
Bring a saw.
Whatever we might need. I don't know.
Like the idea of people bringing saws.
That's
a great idea. Security realizing that won't fly.
K-Rock told me to bring a saw.
So here it is.
Now, Rob, you're here to talk about Medical Police, which premieres on Netflix on Friday.
On Friday, yeah.
And the way I have been explaining it to people is, okay, it's a spinoff of Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
But I told that to my dad because he called and I was laughing so hard. And I said, we're watching the show. We have a guest on tomorrow. And I said, it's a spinoff of Children's Hospital. And my dad is not quite in that bracket.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, I don't know what that is. And I said, Dad, honestly, take all the parts of Airplane that you love.
Yeah.
And it's that. It's that show. It's
super
all
dumb,
the absurd stuff that you're so you're laughing so hard at something that you're like, wait, I just missed the next thing.
I used to love that. It's funny that you bring up Airplane because, like, I love those kind of old 80s comedies like that where, like, Zucker Brothers stuff where there was, like, jokes in the background.
Absolutely.
And so you'd have to, like, go back.
Multiple watches.
Yeah, and I think that, like, Rob Corddry created Children's Hospital, and I think, like, the people that write it, they really strive for that sort of level of absurdity where you have to, like, rewind it.
Absolutely.
And, like, there's, you know, so many different layers of jokes, but your dad does, he sounds like he might be kind of dumb.
I mean, Rob,
is he listening right now?
He can't figure out how to turn on the radio. It's very sad. No, my father is a Mel Brooks fan, but he also loves like Slapshot and Airplane. Those are his movies.
I'm just joking. So I'm sure your dad's
he's totally hate my dad. Yeah. It's fine.
You could be sweet and dumb, though, both.
Yeah, he's wearing a helmet right now. It's fine. It's a great man.
But it is like the spiritual kind of like successor of that Airplane stuff is David Wayne and Rob Corddry.
Yeah,
like they have
they
have that
Wet
same
Hot American
Wet Hot
Summer,
American Summer and all those things that just like the jokes aren't necessarily set up punchline. They're just ridiculous the whole
it's
way
absurd.
Through.
Super silly. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I just you know, that's the stuff that makes me laugh the hardest. What's crazy too is like it just feels like right now the world is in real life like just collapsing.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of looking forward to when the show comes on just like letting it wash over me. Just like, just complete silliness.
Yeah. I stopped at 3 because I want something to look forward to.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah.
You need that anticipation in your life.
And you'll recognize so many people because even in the Children's Hospital days, people would stop by to do very small roles. And since then, over the years, they've become very famous. Like Randall Park, for example, shows up on Medical Police for like 20 seconds. But that's because he's doing a reoccurring role from earlier in Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
But you'll hear Michael Cera, as always. He plays the speaker.
The announcements in the hospital.
Faces that you know, like Brian Husky, who's a guy who's in every movie that you just don't know his name. But Rob Corddry, like Bell, Henry Winkler, Ken Marino,
Jason Schwartzman,
Craig Robinson is in the
Fred Melamed.
Fred Melamed, yeah.
He's one of my favorite character actors.
He's the best.
And he's so good in this.
How many episodes are there?
There are 10. 10 episodes.
That's not enough.
Yeah. More than 10?
We need more.
Yeah. You talk to Netflix. You know, the crazy thing about Netflix, too, I never knew this, but it's controlled by robots.
And,
They do. I was fascinated by this. I think when you turn on, Jensen, when you turn on your Netflix, and Ali, you're even if you're watching the same things, yours will look totally different because they have an algorithm that they want you to click on something. They know what you're going to click on, and they know what you're going to click on, Jensen. So, like, they have different artwork for the different same shows.
Is that right?
No.
Yeah. So, Children's Hospital have, like, 40 different, you know, box covers, you know.
Wow.
Depending on, like,
who it is.
Yeah, who they're trying to get to watch.
So, technically, they're trying to sneak They're trying to get you to watch it without knowing it.
Yeah, well, they're tricking you. Yeah, that's the robots tricky. Are tricking
Kevin,
you.
Kevin, that's why you have all children's programming on your front page. They just decided based on your watching when you're a 9-year-old.
I mean, you made that sound creepy.
But like, they'll figure out like if the art for medical police is like a picture of my butt, let's just say, and it's not a picture of my butt, but you know, maybe
mine was.
But and let's say everyone's clicking on that, then they'll like that will become the they'll spread that out all over the place.
You know? Weird. You're saying they'll spread your butt out. Exactly. My children's hospital is just you in the towel.
There you go.
So
there you go. See, just a picture of me in the towel.
Yeah.
One time we got in trouble when we were doing, before it was medical police and it was children's hospital, we got in trouble with like a real children's hospital because we had a bunch of billboards around. In the old show, the marketing was the picture of Rob Corddry and the scary makeup. Scary
yeah.
clown makeup.
Yeah.
With like blood like splattered. Yeah. Well, I think they had, you know, just coincidentally, they put a bunch of billboards like right across
right
from Children's
ones?
Hospital.
No.
And it was upsetting.
Oh, my God.
It was upsetting people. So they called and they were like, please take those down. We were like, oh, of course. We didn't know. We're so sorry. You know, we didn't control that.
I kind of love it.
This is such a good sequel, though.
Yeah, I love it so much.
You have to
watch it.
Now I've seen 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Do you get back into the hospital?
Field? Yeah, eventually we have to go. Yeah, we take off out of the hospital and we fly all over the world and we fight bad guys and shoot bad guys and stuff.
Rob's character, by the way, is accidentally got on the plane. Like, it's absurd.
Yeah.
It all plays out.
Yeah, they take off in a plane and I had run onto this military plane just to use the bathroom.
Someone was in a stall in the real bathroom, so I had to find another one.
It's so dumb.
So I get sucked into this gigantic storyline.
Also, you would think that a pee would get you out quick enough, but that's not the problem. Water also got on his
I was washing my hands in the airplane bathroom, and water got on my crotch, and so I had to wait for the water to dry, so people didn't think that I peed on myself.
Because that would be the worst
case. So then the plane took off, and so now I'm part of this whole big action show.
You know what one of my favorite things about the show is? The over-explaining everything.
Yeah.
Like, you'll over-explain something, then 2 more people will over-explain what you just over-explained.
Yeah.
It delights me to no end.
My favorite one is, again, they're supposed to be in Brazil, and there's just clearly tricks so that they're not in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And they're driving, and they go, you know, here in Brazil, and when we do, and then Rob goes, yeah, because you know we are doctors here
in Brazil.
Yes, we clearly are doing this in Brazil.
They That's become a thing. Yeah. Like,
so
you
dumb.
Have to hit it on the head so many times. Like, yeah, you know we're in Brazil, right? Oh, right? Of course. Brazil.
Because we're doctors here.
We've been working here in Brazil for years.
There was another one, I forgot. It was like some town in Italy, and we're walking down the street talking about the town, and we're clearly just reading Wikipedia. Like, we're like, well, here we are in Venice, Italy, the home of the canals, and also spaghetti, and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's so, so silly.
So silly, so dumb is what we love.
That's you guys
what
we love. So much. Need to watch it.
It's Friday. It debuts on Netflix, and it's called Medical Police.
Yep. Yeah. The other important thing I tell people about Netflix is you got to watch it in the first month. Did you know that?
Like, yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
that's where they get their data from. Like, you have to watch. Like, if you like a show and you're like, oh, I think I want to watch it, you got to watch it. Like,
see, that's
month.
A problem with me because something will come on, and I'll think, oh, it's on Netflix,
time,
so I can get to it later.
Yeah.
But not this one.
That's why all your favorite shows get canceled.
Because you're saying it's my fault.
It's your fault.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
What I'm going to do, because I watched it on a screener, I don't know if that counts. On
it
Friday,
doesn't.
I'm going back and watching them again.
Or watch your new ones, because you only see the first 3. Watch the other ones on the...
I want to start
over.
Here's $20 for you, and here's $20 for you.
Thank
you.
Hey,
I said I was...
Okay, here's $40 for you.
Oh, what? I should have held on.
Okay, here's 40... so many $20 bills.
I mean, you brought a whole...
Good thing I'm a stripper.
Pack filled with them.
don't ask how I got all this cash.
Still confused.
Rob Hubel, do you mind if we do 60 seconds with...
Let's do it.
Allie will fire questions at you, whatever comes to your mind. And 60 seconds with Rob Hubel.
If you could know when you will die, would you want to?
Yes.
Wow. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
If animals could talk, which one would be the biggest a-hole?
Oh, giraffes.
If you could be any animal, what kind would you be?
A giraffe.
Okay, makes sense. The creepiest thing you could possibly say to a stranger that you pass in the street.
Are my hands moist?
Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Wait, what?
Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Twizzlers.
Oh.
That's not acceptable. Get out.
This is my 60 seconds.
Oh, my bad.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
Yes.
What was it?
Sweaty hands.
It's catchy. Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Dog kisses me on an open mouth.
Oh, right. All right.
All right.
What was your first job?
Delivering flowers.
Oh, what do you think is your worst trait?
Oh, back knee? No, I'm just kidding. probably my temper when I'm driving.
Okay.
I get really mad.
We heard that this morning.
Yeah.
You can bring one album to a deserted island. Which one?
The White Album.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Genuine answer.
Most of those answers were okay.
Yes.
Twizzlers.
Sorry. I mean, disgusting.
That's a lot of pressure.
Not so much. Mm-hmm.
That sound effect of the ticking clock is really effective.
Yeah, well, we run it on purpose.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Were you nervous? It didn't seem like you were.
I'm really. What did I win? Do I win like $10,000?
Yeah.
I have $40. Wait a
second. Some dude just gave it to him.
Yeah. I think Allie's got 42.
Rob, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
We're always happy to have you.
So nice to be here.
Medical Police, you've got to watch it.
Watch it, dudes. Turn it on and then walk out of the room if you're busy.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, put it on.
I like that idea.
In the first month.
In the first month.
You should do that with this radio show as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just good advice in general.
Absolutely.
Just leave the room.
Even in other people's houses.
Turn it on.
Yeah.
Break into someone's house. Turn on their Netflix and leave.
But watch my show. Yes.
On your drive home tomorrow morning, RJ Bell tells you how to make money on football.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're going to New Orleans to see some football.
I am. I'm going to see Clemson beat up on LSU.
You gamble?
He's a Clemson former student, alumni.
I'm a Clemson alumni, and I have a gambling problem.
Excellent. Dr. Drew will join us as well, and a graffiti artist named Penis Man.
Whoa.
Wait, what?
Tomorrow.
What does he draw?
That's a great question. Tomorrow on an all-new show.